Blog Talk Radio.
Sun Ra. Today's program is the life, living the sci-fi life. Oh my goodness. And we got a special guest who is definitely that. No stranger to South Florida and many other New York area as well. I consider him a prolific writer and also a prolific brother in the struggle to bring in the knowledge of what took place. And he's doing it through sci-fi, y'all. This is one of my longest known person who's been doing sci-fi and keeping it going and actually writing comic books. So he'll be on with us at the top of the hour. But today's program is based off that. You are living the sci-fi life. And we're going to show you today that your life, all of you on this line, regardless of how you think, believe, thought patterns, all have a sci-fi connection, because everything in a sci-fi movie is now your reality. Everything from digital laser guns to robotic robots. Remember Lost in Space? Robot. You remember the Jetsons? Cars going in the air. All this is now what was considered, as us being kids at that time, sci-fi. But you had no clue sci-fi is real. And it comes from a long history. Please, one thing about this program, if this is your first time listening, facts matters. So we don't care if it hurts your feelings if you find out that the facts do matter and does not jive with your psyche. You might have been reprogrammed or deprogrammed, one of the two. But today's program is all about the facts. And sci-fi go all the way back. Since the days of Sinbad, that was sci-fi. But you ain't know the history of that. How they come from the Straits of Gibraltar. Where's Gibraltar at? If everybody knows. You know, it's right between the Pillars of Hercules. Where's the Pillar of Hercules at? Right at the border of what? In between the Mediterranean and going out from Africa to Spain, which I told you a long time ago was only 100 nautical miles, which is very short distance. And that's how you should know that Africa had a great influence on Europe. If you're only 100 miles, 100 nautical miles, I would think that you would be over there. You know what you're doing. So let's get into the heart of this sci-fi reality that we all live in, everyone. And a special shout out to that. Those who don't know who Sun Ra is, go look him up. This is where the funkadelic George Clinton got his shit from. This is where Earth, Wind, and Fire got their shit from. This is where most of the jazz world got that outrageous, eclectic sci-fi, what they call fusion today, from Sun Ra out of Chicago, y'all. We're going to get down today. And don't miss at 12 noon. I'm going to show you how sci-fi it is. How did y'all know that Fred Hampton actually knew what was going to take place? Was he a time traveler? Wonder how. I got a speech that no one ever plays, but you'll hear it probably first on the Helios Biblios Hour, showing that he was trying to warn you back then what was happening today. So let's get ready. Get your seats. Get ready to rumble. Take ignition control, because we about to take control of your mind with the sci-fi. Living the life. Sci-fi. Now let's go to the origins. Sci-fi is a form of fiction, they say, mixed in with science to give it a fictional appeal. Became popularized, if not invented. Now, the invented part, we're going to say he just took upon himself to write this. In the 1920s, by one of the genre's principal advocates and American publisher, Hugo Grunsback. And this dude was back in 1884, died in 1967. So I'm like about what, 4 years old when he died. He was from Luxembourg, and he was an inventor. Now that was the early so-called writers. The best writers that y'all remember Jules Verne's and these were the ones that made the movies with Sinbad and Jules Verne's Below the Ocean, the Sea, and Captain Nemo and all that came from. But where did they get that from is the question. And we're going to go take it to you, to that fact. It goes back, all the way back, to the ancient times. There's a number of ancient and early modern texts, including the great many epics and poems and fantasies or science fictional elements, yet were written before all this Jules Verne and Wells and all these so-called writers. They got them right out of the ancient books. And that's why I can't wait to bring my brother on, because he got a book going to blow your mind. Trois people and, oh my God, El Kelon. I mean, just going to be interesting today. So get ready. But it comes back to the same area that we just talked about. India. Yeah, I know the Hindu epics, the Ramayana, the I like the first part of the name, Ramayana. See, they even had it in their name, Ramahana. That's about the 5th, 4th century, probably further than that. And I put on there the Vimana flying machines, able to travel into space and underwater. Now, that's where you get Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and Jules Verne's Captain Nemo. And it says in these texts that they'll be able to destroy entire cities using advanced weapons. Now, you've got to ask yourself, this being written a long time ago in Sanskrit. Now, this is B.C. Joe knows the frame of time. And these things were flying in space or underwater. Some of the first books were in the Rigveda collection of Sanskrit hymns. And there's descriptions of mechanical birds that are seen jumping into space speedily with the craft using fire and water. Now, let's take it to reality, check 101. And aren't we seeing that today? Didn't the airplane, I think United American Airlines pilots said they seen just recently, within the last month, they said they seen a UFO. Maybe Sun Ra was right. UFO. Now, we ain't saying this to make it sound appealing. This is real. There's been so many sightings of UFOs around the world. Just go on your Google. Google it. We did a show called Google It. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Makes it simple for me. But all this is going on. And it's not just in India. It's in ancient Kemet. Because today, according to some, you can't build a pyramid. That's sci-fi. You see the pyramid. They're there. And they can't build pyramids all over the earth today. They're all over the earth. So who built them? If it's people who built them, where's the knowledge of rebuilding them? Can't do it. Can't do it to the percentage of the mathematics or the equation that it took to do it. So is that sci-fi? According to the Arab Islamic belief system of flying sci-fi objects, around the whole story called the Arabian Nights, 8th, 10th century CE, Common Era, also features science fiction elements. One example is the adventure of Balukiya. That's B-U-L-U-K-I-Y-A, the adventures of the Balukiya. And then it goes into one that I like, that I got right here, Lucerian of Samosataya. True history reads like a Dune acid trip. That's what it says. That's Samosata. The Siri, the Samatata. And it says, the narrator set out on a naval voyage in the Pillars of Hercules, which is flanked by the Straits of Gibraltar. And this is how they did it. It says that it ruled the sun over the colonization. Now, look at what it says. The sun was over the colonization of the morning star Venus. Now, you can't get no more sci-fi than that. It says the sun was a colonizer. And like they say, without no sun, you in complete darkness. And the sun gave you light. Now, that could be an allegory. Tune, sound like it, don't it? And the Son of Man arose in the sky. Y'all heard this all before, so we just bring it to your fruition. But you know, sci-fi is beyond just that. It has different genres. I'm going to bring y'all in a few. So my brother coming on 11, that's Yo Jeff, Jeff Carroll. We call him Yo Jeff. That's what he calls himself. But Jeff Carroll is one of my, I could say, brothers that have always kept to his craft. And it's going to be a wonderful thing when we get him on the air about sci-fi and his views and his books that he got out for sale. And he'll give you all the information for those of you who are sci-fi fans and comic book fans as well. Too bad, like my people tell me, they can't go to the Comic-Con. You know, they're regulars there. And unfortunately, those events that are Comic-Con and those who are into sci-fi and anime, you know, those events have been canceled due to this sci-fi virus. See, one thing about sci-fi, it takes you into outer space and where all the germs were created. You remember the alien, moving here out there doing what? Experimentation, right? And what better way to show you what they're going to do is to show you a bone through a movie. And how many bones have we had? I mean, tons. Tons of bones. And we ain't just talking about the dry bones. But they are telling you that aliens exist. Not like before where it was just speculation. So I'm going to give you just a few briefs so we can get this program started. Everybody's not insane when they say these things. Aliens? You be the determination. Who is an alien by the end of this program? And for all the nations to write about flying saucers, huge machinery that were able to destroy pure civilization. Thank you, Brother West. Shows today the technology, bullets could be obsolete. And I say this thinking that I have bullets. But once you shoot off all your weapons on whatever the pretext is, won't be on humans. What if they get you to believe in another sci-fi event that they had planned by the CDC called the zombie apocalypse? See, you don't know that's real, but it is real. See, look it up. Go in. Put CDC zombie apocalypse. We did a show on this 4 years ago. I got the transcripts. You want them? I'll send you the show. The zombie apocalypse. They spent money on this shit. Big time. Matter of fact, that's why the movie The Walking Dead was in Atlanta. Because Atlanta is a Jesuit city. That's why the Atlanta Falcons wear black and red, Jesuit colors. And for you all to know that they all went around the world looking for weapons of mass destruction, but it wasn't. They were weapons that can create mass destruction, just like the book said in the Vedas. Isn't that strange? They told you this, and you thought it was talking about Iraq. No, it was talking about getting the weapons that they found in the ancient cities of Babylon. And if you think I'm making this up, just listen to what they said just in the last 6 months.
Aliens exist and President Trump knows about it. That's according to Israel's former space security chief. In an interview with an Israeli newspaper, he said the aliens have been waiting until today for humanity to develop and reach a stage where we will understand in general what space and spaceships are. NBC News chief global correspondent Bill Neely explains this one.
Hi, Allison. Well, this is quite a story, and it comes from the man who headed Israel's space security program for nearly 30 years. Chaim Eshed is making the extraordinary claim that the United States and Israel have been in contact with a group of aliens for years, not immigrants, but extraterrestrials. He has called them the Galactic Federation of Aliens, and he says President Trump is aware of the existence of these aliens and had been on the verge of revealing their secrets, he claims, but was asked not to do so by the Federation in order to prevent what he calls mass hysteria. Well, the retired general says the U.S. and Israel have kept it from the public because, quotes, humanity isn't ready and the aliens don't want to reveal themselves until humanity can evolve, he says, and understand what space really is.
Now, humanity must evolve. That is why you're taking the vaccination so your DNA can evolve into what is necessary. Now, y'all better pay attention to what we're saying today. This is not a joke. This is not sci-fi because you're living sci-fi. Oh, get ready for this program. It's going to be hot. Now, right there is enough to say, holy, Space Force, Space Ghost. Remember that, Space Ghost? Y'all remember that. Remember they could fly around and put their spaceship on what? They made it invisible. And didn't they say that this is the visible enemy that we're fighting? So they tell you the clues to prepare those who can see what is happening. That's why sci-fi writers and sci-fi people are very instrumental in the day's news of deciphering what's happening. That's why today. We thought we was playing. See, we coming at you today. See, not only not only are they prepared for it, they even know. Remember, he just said the Galactic Federation. Well, didn't we just tell you that the first novels, B-U-L-U-K-I-Y-A, and the stories of the Pillars of Hercules said they was over the sun was the colonization of the morning star Venus. Ain't that strange? Well, let me give you a couple minutes of this one. Because strange that they say they come out the same star system that the Dogons.
Thousand years ago, I would not have had to tell you this, since if you lived in those times you would have been taught this in school, but 4,000 years of a powerful directed misinformation campaign have taken their toll, and it'll take me some effort here to clarify some basics for you. The Sumerian civilization is the oldest known human civilization on Earth. Their gods were called the Anunnaki, which in Sumerian means those who from heaven to earth came. It blossomed out almost overnight, around 3800 BC, in Mesopotamia, the land between the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates, and came to a sudden end in 2024 BC, when it was laid waste by a deadly radioactive cloud, brought by easterly winds from the Sinai Peninsula, where according to some ancient records, a nuclear war took place. The huge black scar in the face of the earth, in the southeastern part of the Sinai Peninsula, and the blackened stones that show signs of being instantly melted by extreme intense heat. There is more evidence. Higher than normal levels of radioactivity have been found in the Dead Sea. The site of Sodom and Gomorrah have been nuked at the same time, and in the land of Sumer itself, a recent study has found that around the time of the destruction of Sumer, there was a sudden climate change there, the nature of which is consistent with a nuclear fallout. The Sumerian civilization disappeared around 2000 BC, just as suddenly as it appeared. It is clear that its fall was very tragic, as many Sumerian lamentation texts have been found bewailing the destruction and desolation.
Now that's in those who are Christian. That's in your Bibles, which I've told you is an alien book. Those who've listened to this program know, we told you it's an alien book. Not talking about human beings. It's talking about subjugation of human beings into 12 colonies that the sun will colonize. Isn't that your book? Who is Jesus? The morning star of Venus. Oh, about to get into some sci-fi today. Not only is sci-fi real, sci-fi is brought in by the aliens in the term of COVID-19. Anyway, I got one more for you. See, this is sci-fi today. Hope you can handle this one. Remember the doctor say aliens?
This morning, one of the doctors featured in an now banned viral video about the coronavirus is speaking out.
I think I'm dangerous because I'm speaking truth.
Dr. Stella Emanuel was part of a video Monday that featured a group of doctors claiming without evidence that there's a cure for COVID-19. In the clip, Emanuel pushes hydroxychloroquine as part of a cure for the disease, a view largely discredited by health experts. The president retweeted the video, which was eventually taken down by Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube for violating misinformation policies.
I was very impressed with her and other doctors that stood with her. I think she made sense, but I know nothing about it.
Despite the backlash, in an interview with NBC affiliate KPRC, Dr. Emanuel continued to claim hydroxychloroquine could be part of a COVID-19 cure.
I don't know why people are getting crazy about it.
Well, that's a minority view on whether or not it's a cure, that's for sure.
Let me say something. When you have seen 300, 400 patients and none of them has died, it is not a minority view.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says scientific data doesn't support her claim.
All of those trials show consistently that hydroxychloroquine is not effective in the treatment of coronavirus disease or COVID-19.
There are currently no drugs approved by the FDA to prevent or treat COVID-19. And the National Institutes of Health recommends against using hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of the virus. Beyond her controversial coronavirus claims, Dr. Emanuel has also drawn criticism for pushing unusual conspiracy theories and for her beliefs about demon spirits and disease.
It's off the beaten path to say that demons are sleeping with you overnight.
But demons are sleeping with people.
Are they?
Yes! Demons exist!
Now, Dr.
Demons exist. Ain't that sci-fi? Enter your body. Remember all those movies we've seen where they enter into you and you become that which that is? Oh, man, y'all better get ready for what's coming. Sci-fi today. You live in the life of sci-fi. Let me get a caller in here because we're about to get busy. What you heard today is sci-fi in your mind, a reality that is really real. 5474.
Dry bone?
Yes.
I didn't mean to. Well, anyway, I'm here. Greetings and grand rising to you and your listening audience. I'm in the stronghold. Well, I'm not in the stronghold, but this is interesting that you talk about this today. You have to come up out of the stronghold, meaning Cochise's stronghold, to get a signal. So it's just on time, on point, and I'm just listening. I'll comment if I need to later.
All right.
Thank us.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Let me go to those of you who've been listening. Let me get your thoughts on this because you just heard major clips within the last 6 to 8 months of this. So let me go to 6661. It's sci-fi.
Grand
Rising. Are we living the sci-fi life? What are we living?
Man, hey, we've been in that zone a long time ago, you know, through all the Rod Serlings and all the certain mystics, you know, the gypsies and so forth. You know, it's a lot of questions that have to be answered. But it seemed like this era, they're more comfortable than ever, you know, putting it out there because most of the masses are already dumbed down. And you know, like even touching on points that you were saying, even back then, that they found at times the weapon of mass destruction, and they probably have it, and, you know, everybody has a piece of the pie, and we're teetering now on the brink of number three, as Albert Pike and those have spoken about. But one thing I wanted to touch on is that even going back then, you know, even when we look at the desert, even it was said the desert was a fertile land, and that was an ocean. Some have said that. And probably at that time, either between the demiurge and so forth, or if you could account to that mass destruction, what happened to that vast land? Was that too, that happened?
Yeah, that's right.
Taking away the ocean?
Because these wars are stated. Now, those of you who are into these writings and who understand, just go online, Google what we're saying. You will see we're not making this up. I mean, they're actually saying that the Pillars of Hercules, these voyages of Sinbad that we all grew up watching, and now we get into the Pirates of the Caribbean with the so-called bringing the spirits out of the water. I mean, we have had a litany of information from the ancients, to say that something is definitely in the mix. I mean, who will write spaceships going into water, and then we used to watch Captain Nemo come out the water and go into this air. So something they got and they knew that existed. Keep you in the queue. I'm going to get some more calls until we get to the real nitty-gritty. Let me go to 5061. Welcome to the Helios.
What's going on, bro?
Yes, yes. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Hey, it's interesting when you were playing those news clips about Trump and everything, and as far as exposing the trying to let the people know about the alien paradigm. Now, if you go on to Amazon, like since this pandemic thing had broken out, now all the militaries are releasing their stamp labels on these masks now. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. Like I said, the Marines have a brand of masks, the Army, the Navy, even the Coast Guard, and also Space Force.
Right, right. Space Force.
And
I
saw
where.
That. I said, huh.
Space Force.
That shows me right there, I mean, in the context of your show and this conversation, that this Space Force thing is real. But like I said, a lot of people so bogged down on the aspect of getting these shots, whatever, and trying to survive and dying and everything, that they're not really paying attention to more or less the truth within the lie.
Well, you know, did you hear the part? Now, I know you look up stuff. I want all y'all to look up something for me on there. Y'all got your phones and Google. Look up CDC zombie apocalypse, everybody. Now,
I saw that. Matter of fact, I saw that on the website a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Nobody's even doing it. We've been saying it for the longest. It's only
right.
A small group of us just saying on this line right now pretty much knows that already or is going to do the research. The other half of the population is not going to do it.
Now, here's where we come in, everybody. Now, those, like he said on his line, that's why we call it the dry bones. Those of you who are doing similar things, keep it going, because this conversation is going to be taken even to a smaller venue, because
mm-hmm.
once the alien, I'm going to
use the
term.
And also the phrase herd immunity, too.
Herd immunity. See, listen to the names, herd. Immunity, right there, should be a clue, but it's not a clue to many of you. Not all. I'm talking to those that we deal with. All of them. So we got to look at these clues they're giving. Herd immunity is a deep word. Like, damn, we sound like cattle. Like, soon as we get these cattle prepared for the harvest,
or the slaughter.
The world. Yeah. See, that's your story. That's coming out your own apocalyptic Bible. Now, I got to play another clip because before we get, I'm going to hop this up. Now, all y'all have a family member who have taken these shots. Now, I'm going sci-fi for real because y'all going to be living sci-fi in a minute. And just say one day in the coming future, let's make it 5 years, that we start to see multiple changes in human beings that they are now going into a state of zombieism. Y'all better look what zombieism is. So get out that goddamn voodoo stuff right now. I'm thinking that it's part of it. But if they got a nano technology that they have definitely shown us in your body, when they really turn this thing on to the mainframe, what happens if it tells you to kill your kids like it said in the movie, the sci-fi movie?
Hey,
y'all been watching
on.
These movies?
Hey.
Go.
You said something. You said nanotechnology. I hate to jump ahead or jump up the script, whatever, but if y'all haven't seen it, y'all might want to go back and check out this new Zack Snyder's Cut of Justice League. It's a 4-hour flick, but connecting what you just said about nanotechnology, there's a part in there
right.
towards the middle end of the movie that a Chinese dude is now taking over this lab. That's the director of nanotechnology. That's no accident. But go back and watch the movie, then y'all see what I'm talking about.
No. You on point. See, it's nothing. Every time somebody say it'd be right on point. Because now I was going to say how the technology is being made in certain countries. Now it's getting to a point where you can't say nothing about Asian people. Asian people are about to have more protection than you, black folks, in a minute. This is a fact. And see, no one's paying attention to the Galactic Federation writings. Brother West and them, back in the day, we all did a whole show on this, and many people did shows on this, including white folks. And it said that they're watching the governments for some reason. They're going to do something with consider justification. That's why that Justice League shit coming out, because they're going to have a tribunal. They talk it all the same thing in these movies. Now, here's something I got to play. I'm going to go take some more callers. See, parents took it. Your parents, mine, they took it. We don't know what they took, everybody. Just make that clear to your mind. I don't care what. If they mutate without you taking that and you don't have the mutation and they go after you, you better believe you'll never, ever say sci-fi is not a part of your life again.
All right, what's going on? Just let me think about where to start.
Well, he saw something. What is it?
I saw a virus. I think some kind of disease.
A virus? Like what? Like SARS?
I don't know. All I know is that it's highly infectious. It may be fatal. Right now, we could all be infected. If we take this outside, we risk the whole town.
Johnny, how big is this going to get?
I don't know. We just have to do everything we can to stop this, starting right now, Walt.
He's right. All right, here's what's going to happen. We need to make sure that everybody that's inside stays inside. I'm going to get a few deputies on it. We'll call it a lockdown.
Lockdown?
Well, until I come up with something better.
Walt, no. No, you cannot lock the school doors.
This is for your family's safety.
Will I get sick too?
Yeah. Maybe we should wear masks. What difference does it make? According to you, we've already been exposed. Let's get one thing straight, Mr. Smith. I'm responding to political pressure.
You have no reason to be scared. Let me ask you something, Amy. Animals. You've been around any animals in the backyard, even, let's say, a skunk, a raccoon? I'm going to swab the inside of your mouth with this little Q-tip. Trying to get a handle on this animal. Damn efficient airborne transmission. Blood tests and swabs aren't telling us much. We know it acts like a virus. It causes high fever and respiratory distress. Tracking and treating a mysterious outbreak like this would take the CDC months.
We better get started then. Anyone who hasn't been exposed already needs to wear a mask.
China? Isn't that where flu viruses come from?
Yeah. A lot of viruses come from there.
International flight to China?
That's no coincidence.
Whatever it is that originated in China.
Time is not on our side.
It's like looking for a needle in a needle stack.
We have ruled out all the usual suspects. Influenza, SARS, bacterial pneumonia.
How long is it going to take?
Well, it took 34 days to isolate the coronavirus that caused SARS, and that's fast.
I'm authorizing a quarantine on everyone who's come in contact with a symptomatic person.
There's got to be something I can do.
On the enzyme,
the chloroquine
when they were
using malaria. So the chloroquine.
This is it. This is your virus.
I'm sorry, but there's no cure for that. Chloroquine, that's an anti-malarial drug.
No. Listen, it suppresses the enzymes.
Welcome back, you damn fool.
What happened?
We started everyone. Yeah.
That is a sci-fi program called The Dead Zone, made over 15 years ago. Over 15 years ago. We at the concert 15 years ago. We jamming. No way in hell did anybody think a sci-fi cape called Dead Zone, go look it up, came on TV, and we all watched it, and now we are all living it, and you telling me sci-fi is not a part of your life. Let me see if it will be by the end of this program. 9927, you on the air.
Can you hear me? Hi, everyone. Sunrise.
I hear you. Go right ahead. Go.
All that good stuff. Welcome to the Sci-Reel. Sci-reality, science reality, because that's what it is. Okay, so I was trying to find, because I've seen like years ago, where they had made a video about the CIA. They told us about the Real Justice League, but they called themselves the League of Justice. And now they have a movie out about the League of Justice, but these were real men. The one guy last name was Justice. Another one, it had to do with Walt Disney some other people that worked. They all worked for the CIA, but they called themselves the League of Justice. So this is where they got these cartoons from, but they were actual real people. Walt Disney
right.
was involved. This is, all of them was involved, and I cannot find that video. I put it in my archive, and I've been looking for it in YouTube, but I think YouTube wiped it out because it had the truth about how they came
They will wipe it out. There's no doubt. YouTube is wiping out people's stuff.
And it was old. It was an old black and white video talking about these people and how they established all of this. Okay, so, but I've been saying, and it's been over like 5 years now, that the people that have, that's ruling over the planet, that have all the control, all the money, was coming to America to lock down America. America is the last place to get people under control. I said they were locking down the whole planet. I said that a long time ago.
Now you've been knowing about this probably longer than that because of the fact
and
that
if you go back in some of your archives, I'm saying this in your archives.
Right.
That
right. No,
they were
no
coming
doubt.
To lock down the
no
planet
doubt.
And that they had to get all their resources together, which they are doing. And that they all joined together, so they're all under the umbrella corp, meaning that we all in the hive, and so we all supposed to have the same mindset. But the hive has a queen and it has drones. So, and I said that they were going to, that's when I was telling everybody you need to watch Colony, because Colony had locked down the whole planet, and what the hell did they have? Fucking drones. And anybody that go try to go past the wall, And I mean the wall. They put down the walls from out the air. They put anybody try to go past the walls, the drones would automatically kill your ass. So I don't know. That's why I linked the two. I said, when they came out with Colony, and I was already saying before Colony came out that they were going to lock down the resources and Bush.
I'm going to put the facts to what you just said. In this narration that we just did, it said that in the Pillars of Hercules, they will be flanked by the sun with colonization. They talk about their own book, colonization over the morning star Venus. So maybe this is why we under this colonization program. Let me get some more callers in here. Let me go to 4007.
Greetings, Guy Bones.
Greetings.
And the family. This is Brother Tariq out here in the West.
Oh, yeah.
Where lots of this has been going on most of the time for the past 50 years. Walt Disney, Errol Flynn, Ronald Reagan, they used to spend their summers down in Jamaica, you know, worshiping the Nazis. And all of this has to do, especially in the last 60, 70 years, in the transfer of the Nazi hierarchy over this land. They brought them here in 1944 before the war was over, put them in place, 1,700 of them, Reinhard Gehlen, the head of Hitler's East Front Security. They're the ones who set up the CIA with Wild Bill Donovan from the OFF. This is all coming from Europa, where they... where you talk about the Pillars of Hercules, which the name changed in 711 A.D.
Right now, let's go with that. I know you know. Let's talk about that history right quick. The Pillars of Hercules. Now you see the two countries that they got to come from, two continents they got to come to. It wasn't even worrying about that. You see that there is Libya and Spain. So basically. Mm-hmm. I try to tell people who you think was in power at that time. You think Europa was in power or Libya was in power? Which one was it?
Libya.
Okay. So Libya was where they had to pay the tribute, the booty, to go through. So obviously there's even more deeper alien stuff going on, because who taught them the controlling of the seas? Like, who would teach a group how to do what they learned to do, especially in our condition today? We come out of our mother's womb, and somebody leave us on the corner, we finished. We wouldn't be able to function. We'd be a wild little animal watching the other animals. It's like something has to breed us, in my estimation of sci-fi, what we're talking about. Because you mentioned about a few things. Hitler. Hitler's always, and the Nazis always connected to ravishing the hierarchy of archaeology. That's what the Indiana Jones is about. They got
Indiana Jones, yes, sir.
Okay, so let's go with that premise. Say they did find all this. Say Hitler was able to get the technology. How should we take that now? Mm-hmm. That he was able to transfer a lot of his agents here, and maybe they are preparing for a galactic federation. What's your take? I'm going to take another caller. Give me a comment on that. I'm going to take another caller. 1068, you next. 1068. Go ahead. What's your thoughts on that? Because you're from California. California got a lot of aliens. They claim it was a battle in Los Angeles a long time ago. What's the you
1942.
Remember that?
1942.
Right.
1942.
Give me your take on that.
Well, that was when the Japanese were threatening to, as they claim, come over here and bomb the place like they did Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they set the whole country up for that.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. And
do you think for them to set this up, it's like an alien type of, I mean, because we've fallen for it. We don't find out that they did this because the people at that time believed in Pearl Harbor. All our black folks in California, they were, you know, they believed that the Japanese, they didn't know that it was a New World Order front. Made until years later when people investigate and give up the information. That's why facts matter. Let me take a couple of callers. I'm going to bring y'all back in. 1068, you on the Helio.
Hey, Dry Bones, man, the way you came in with that Sun Ra, man, you can't help but to set this show off, man. I was fired.
Oh, yeah.
And
just fired up, man.
And this
Sun
is based
Ra was on
the
fire, man.
Hey, bruh. Hey, man. That's why Public Enemy was so hard. They was using all them extraterrestrial sounds from Sun Ra. You know what I'm saying? They was going in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now y'all going, now check this out. Listen to this. Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, a professional poker player, a master poker player, also a chemist. He went and drafted a man out of a Jesuit, back to the Jesuits, out of a Jesuit school called Michigan named Magic. A chemist and a poker player going to draft a man named Magic. Now, Magic Johnson just won two championships with two teams after California got set on fire. It's all in Cali. Look at the movie Poetic Justice. Janet Jackson and Tupac, they went where? They went where? To Oakland. But before they got there, they sat under a tree by the ocean, by the water. Tell me people don't use the witchcraft and alienism.
Right.
And check this out. Black Panther, Vibranium, where? In Oakland. Oakland. Oak. It's the trees. It's the herbs. It's the plants. Mm-hmm. Those are your extraterrestrials. We, the aliens, we got off our game. Now they pretending to be the aliens and in contact with them. No, we always been in them. We the real shamans. We always in contact with the aliens, the praying mantis, the roach, the beetle, the fly, the bird. Look at the movie Do the Right Thing. Remember Homeboy was wearing the number 33 with the bird jersey, and he went up up the steps. Look at the numbers that they talked about, the 1 and the 8.
Now, stay with me because we still got time for my brother come on. We got Jeff, hit the number 1 button when you call in so you can pop up when you get in here. Let's go with that. Oakland.
Oakland.
Again, it has y'all remember now. The Planet of the Apes movie, because I love the Planet of the Apes because it told a lot. The Planet of the Apes movie was in what? It was in California, too.
Yeah, it was. And on the bridge, on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
When they killed Yaqub, the scientist. They killed Yaqub, the scientist. They threw him off the helicopter, Jacob.
See, now,
hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
What was
that song that the Black Panther movie opened up with? It was a rapper from Oakland. Who was that?
It was too short.
What a basketball.
Too short.
That's right, bro. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Too short.
Drive on.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Keep that spot, y'all. Now, let's go with Walt Disney because, now, do we blame Walt Disney because these groups, somebody turn your phone down. I see I'm leaving y'all in the mic so y'all keep your phone. Y'all know that making noise. Just put yourself on mute. I won't mute you. Just put yourself on mute till you get yourself cleared. Okay, now, let's go with this Oakland thing. Eddie Murphy gave a clue in the movie when they said, you come from Rwanda. He said, no, that's a fictional land. It's not real. You see what he said? Now, actually, the Khotan is in Africa, the continent of Africa. They don't, you know, let's not think about the way they do because Africans don't think the way us Americans think. I want y'all to get that clear. If we can get that clear, we'll have a big, big understanding now. But right now, they're killing in the land right now. Right now, everybody, right now. They're killing right in the land. They just killed the president. We had a show, Paul Ugambi, all of them from Rwanda and them. They are the ones that are mining the rare mineral, the rare earth metals that are on the earth that came from outer space. This is a fact. And they know where they at. They're in California. Why you think they burnt all of the places down? They going in. They going in, y'all.
Yes, sir.
They know where it's at.
Hey.
And the shots, let me ask you about the shots, everybody. Now, y'all just heard from all these shows y'all heard, all these things y'all saying. Now, what happens if they said they need us to wait till we ready? Now, what does ready mean? Does that mean they to the gene pool is changed before they reveal this? I want to hear from y'all. What does the gene pool being changed have to do with the aliens? Could this possibly be more than what we think our body's going to turn into? Could this be the second coming?
Hey, Dry Bones, you got to bring in Credo Mutva.
Okay.
So, yeah, Credo Mutva from South Africa. He's the one who exposed this in the 1990s.
Yeah, the one with the thick glasses on. Yeah, Credo. Now, I think he passed. Did he pass? Somebody tell. I think Credo died recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died recently.
Yeah.
Credo,
but he told us all this in the book, The Biggest Secret by what's his name, the Englishman.
But he also said they ate the aliens. Now, did you hear? Now, let's be real, though, because I listened to that whole thing. I watched. I've been to a lot of these conferences. Did you hear the initiation? He said, quote, that they remember the movie where in Africa where the aliens landed, they ate the aliens so they could get the strength of the aliens because that's the way the mindset is. They ate the aliens, remember, in that movie, and they were supposed to gain the strength of the aliens. Now, I'm telling you that people think that's a joke, but the dude named Credo said the initiation was they had to eat the hand. That's what it said. Now, y'all not going to tell me y'all ready for that because y'all scared of real blood right now. So in order to chop a person's hand off, this came out of Credo. This is sci-fi, y'all. Came out. I'm going to tell you, the white man who brought him up was, you know the white man from England. He brought him on. He actually brought Credo to the forefront. David Icke. Icke brought that dude on, and he said that the Zulus had a ritual with aliens. That's exactly what he was talking about. He said aliens. And it made me so funny because think about what y'all doing now. Let's go there. Shaka Zulu. Let's go to this African stuff because y'all got the Black Panther and all that. Remember, Shaka Zulu got his kingdom taken not because he couldn't beat the white man. Mm-mm. Had nothing to do with that. What did Shaka lose that we all do today in a barber chair today?
Get a haircut.
No. We get a haircut, but what did he do? We go to the barbershop, and most men now, 45.
Is he a liner or a shave or something?
He got his hair dyed. He was graying. He was getting old, and the white man got the powder from India, and they put it in his hair. and made him look young again. Look it up. Look it up. And that's why they call it the Fountain of Youth. They now are going through DNA, the bodies of the youth. You eating them now. You are eating DNA. I said you're going to eat your children. Ain't that sci-fi?
Hey, Tribal, they showed that in the movie Coming to America. Remember?
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
see
they,
that.
They showed
that?
You in Coming to America. Remember they went to go circus? Oh, man, bruh, go check it out. Man, they showing you the alien. You said it. In sci-fi movies, they put it in the comedy. They put it in sports. They put it everywhere. We looking right at it. They using the plants. They using nature, water. Look at Get Out. Look at the movie Us.
That's it.
He got the Michael Jackson jersey. She took his birthday is the 29th. 29th copper. They took it out to the water. Then they went in the magic mirror house. Then the little girl got stuck in the tree. The little brother had the amethyst quartz crystal. Man, come on, y'all. They put this stuff right in our... Hey, look at Get Out. He got pierced in his hand. He got pierced in his hand. Remember that?
Now, Hold on. I'm glad you brought up Get Out. Let's do that, everybody. Let's go and Get Out is sci-fi. That's sci-fi. Now, you think it's sci-fi. It ain't real, but lobotomies was done on everybody in the early era. Even white folks was getting lobotomized. If your kid had a deformity, they was lobotomized. This is a fact. And so blacks was easily lobotomized, of course, based on what we haven't seen through all this. Let's go into that faction. That's another genre of sci-fi. Can they now? With the brain chip, I got the clip, if y'all want me to play it, with the brain chip that many of the rich people, including rappers, how do we know that these rappers are not already brain chips? I want to hear from y'all.
How we know we ain't no chips in them the vaccines or them serums, too?
No, I'm saying, we got people promoting this now. We got a lot of the...
Right.
The rappers are a trillion... Let's be honest now. I like music. The rappers are a trillion... dollar industry now. They about to go now into Korea. I seen that some of the rappers realize they got to go to Korea now. Please listen carefully. They are using the first group. Let's be honest. We got to be real today. Psy 5 was actually taken over by the Japanese. I wanted to see if anybody's gonna say that. They've been took over Psy 5. Prince Planet, Japanese. Ultraman, Japanese.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Yeah.
Omega Man. Japanese.
I watched a lot of anime. And anime has a lot to do with nature. Has
Godzilla.
A lot to do with the sky.
Godzilla.
It has a lot to do with everything.
Godzilla.
And they have taken over anime and cartoons.
But
Godzilla and Gazooka.
Hold on. Time out. Y'all say they been, when I mentioned Prince Planet,
but
I'm 10 years old.
Right.
Prince Planet had Haji. Haji came from Arabia. That comes with the Hercules shit I told you about. See, they knew what they was doing. Haji came with Prince Planet. He was on the magic carpet, remember? Remember? Let me play Michael Jackson at the top of the key before we break. Y'all got to remember the time. Now,
well,
let's
I just
go
want to say this about them eating the aliens. Remember, they were eating the mummies. So they took the mummies and was eating the mummies and saying that they can get powers from the mummies.
Yeah.
So was the mummies the aliens they were eating? And then they were eating black people here in America. Of course, black people was eating black people, but I'm just saying. They were eating so-called black people here.
The black stuff, out of
material.
The black people.
To wear
the black
on their
people,
body.
The best pygmies on the planet.
They can get superpowers.
Hold on. The best pig. I had a video. Y'all seen it. Many people gave it to me. I gave it out. There was a place. It was called the Philippines. It was in the Philippines. They sliced this black dude up so good. It was on when you could not take it off. It was like you could see this. It was like smut video. They was able to carve a human body. They showed it. These pygmies, they had big noses, everything. Things that they know, they was from the like the Filipino area of these islands. Man, let me tell you something, y'all. If y'all believe that because you don't see it in your neighborhood, your zip code, that people don't have the ability to carve your ass up and make you a sandwich, you crazy. They can make your ass a sandwich. Now we get into side five of the psychopathic mind. Now, what if the Hannibals are the scientists today? Now, y'all heard Obama. Y'all heard Obama say in his inaugural speech that he's going to put science in his rightful place. The Yahwehs taught us. The Nation of Islam taught us about Yakuti scientists. Every group taught us about scientists. That's not a fact. That's not a made-up thing. That's a fact. And now we got to ask ourselves, where are these groups getting from? Jump in. I'm going to hear from y'all.
Hey, Bones.
I'm asking all these questions.
Hey, Bones.
Y'all heard every group say
this. Hey, Bones. Now that you just touched on that, you know, what did the Jeffrey Dahmers Al Horowitz?
Yeah,
Were they rogue? You understand? Were they rogue students that learned the science of chopping bodies and
yeah?
You understand?
And see, this is sci-fi, everybody. I hope y'all ready for this because see, sci-fi is into what you don't believe is into. Now they want your heart, your mind. Now right now it was a sci-fi movie with Rosie Grier. They put a black man's face on a white man's body. It was an old movie, Rosie Grier. Remember Los Angeles Rams? I know football quite. Los Angeles Rams, Rosie Grier was a hell of a football player.
With the double head. Same body.
Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Okay. Now, y'all thought that was made up. We did. We like, oh, that's crazy. They can't have it. We laughing and shit. We thought it was a joke. But it ain't a joke.
It's real.
They are now talking about taking your brain and making you live forever if you got the money. That's a fact. Y'all, I can play the tape if y'all want me to. So that kind of lets me know that how far advanced this is. If they could show me as a kid in a funny way, well, he got this black man, this big black man, especially during the racism time. Here's a black man with a white man. They've been playing us, y'all. I'm going to tell you, Politics is alien aggression taught through the Bible, as the 12 tribes of Israel. These are alien colony takeovers. If you look at every one of these groups, every one of these groups are related to a council of God. Theocracy is God. That means God take over. That means whoever think God is there in them the most. This is how it's going to work, y'all. Y'all better listen carefully. Whoever think in the end of this day that God is in them the most, the alien God, and become more, and you see this technology coming to them where they are now living beings of technology, meaning that they're no longer human. They are now the cyborg shit. Y'all thought it was a joke. It's not a joke. I played last week Clone Aid. How many of y'all actually looked up Clone Aid? Found out it's a real business. Cloning for over 30 years
now. Here in Canada.
So how we know?
Hey, boom.
Go ahead, jump in. I'm looking for
Hey, remember when we looked at the Mall of the Sepal, right? And we saw all those different groups within a group and different levels of initiation, but we could never print it out, right? And so when we touch on everything, you know, everything is connected. You know, we've been played on high levels. But
in sci-fi.
In the end, Draco's never ended.
I got the brother and the kid.
Draco's never left.
Draco's never left.
Well, they put everything, they took our knowledge away from us and they put it in our faces. How about we always been the enemy?
Whatever took it away from us, we must come to the grips that it still is away from us. If we still saying whatever took it away from us. So if it took it away from us, at this point, Sci-Fi is now. And we're going to bring in our guest because it's a sci-fi writer, comic books, some awesome writings. And he's keeping the live and doing new and more innovative storylines that involve what we're talking about today, especially with Kemet. Everybody likes to take Kemet as this, you know, great pillar. But if you look at it, it looked like it could have been an air base for aliens throughout the whole world, especially on the 33rd parallel line, where I said the 31st parallel And the 33rd parallel in the middle of those two is the whole Bible story. Just take your compass, turn it into those two, tropical Cancer, tropical Capricorn, and you will see the whole Garden of Eden if you know sci-fi. No other ado but to bring in my man who lives sci-fi, writes sci-fi, and I don't know, he could be alien. I don't know. I don't know, man. He could be.
Bring the aliens over there. Come on, because we want
to
hear.
Welcome to the program, my man, and a good friend of all of South Florida and of New York. My man, brother Jeff Carroll, we call him Yo Jeff. Welcome to the program, man.
Peace and black power to you. How you doing?
Man, we loving this, man. We talking about sci-fi. We talking about the movies we grew up on and some of the things. You being a part of this, give me your bio on how you even got to wanting to be a part of the sci-fi and comic book world.
Well, I've always been a big dreamer, and I can't really tell you. I was just answering that question yesterday for somebody, and I kind of feel that me being an only child and put in my room as punishment without anything to go on is kind
wow.
of what fueled my imagination. You know,
right.
I didn't go psycho crazy and start talking to myself, but I did have I did make believe scenarios, you know, adventures with my toys and all the other stuff that a lot of kids do. And then from there, I started seeing, you know, almost like how other people were doing it when they were imagining things, and these would end up on the television and in movies, you know,
right.
And I started seeing stuff from there. And it wasn't until probably I was in college, I started working with comedians and poets and started telling stories and seeing how they were joke writing and stuff like that, that I start tapping into my own creative story manifestation. But very
right.
early on, you know, I could tell you about a movie better than the movie was portrayed. You know what I'm saying? Me and my cousin, we used to fix the endings of movies. So even if you had a movie,
yeah, exactly.
you know, we used
exactly.
to fix it. We used to fix it for you.
And I used to do the same. Now, my thing was, like you would say earlier, growing up, we would make our own makeshift Star Command for Star Trek. I'll be always Spock, because everybody said I had pointy ears when I was growing up. So I'll be Spock and shit. And we kind of like created our own little skits that became normal to us as growing up, especially as they, I mean, you pretty close to the same age. So let me ask you this. Some of the horror movies that you grew up on,
yes.
that you got, we're going to get to some of the aspects of your book, because you got horror, you got magic, you got all the elements that is called the genre of sci-fi. What was your most, as we go over, what's your most horrifying movie? I remember for me was The Exorcist. I used to love, The Exorcist was outrageous. We used to like watching that one. That was a good one.
My most horrifying movie, let me see. I mean, there was a lot of things that scared me. For some reason, I wasn't biblically scared, you know, so using the Bible wasn't going to scare me. So The Exorcist and Damien Omen stuff didn't really scare me as much as, say, something like Altered State, things that I couldn't explain easily.
What about the Twilight Zone? The Twilight Zone, because now you see Altered State.
Certain Twilight Zones scared me, but didn't really scare me. They just made me think. The one with the little boy flashing people to the cornfield, that was memorable, you know. But beyond that, nothing major scary. You know what I'm saying? Nothing major scary.
So basically, like sci-fi to you mainly sound like the science like the altered states of mind. What about the virus ones now? Because they always got us into these zombie states. What's your take on the zombie sci-fi effect?
Well, I'll go back. Originally, we had Frankenstein, which is supposedly the first horror story, but it's also a sci-fi story because they used science to resurrect and try to bring him back.
Right.
That movie serves, or that story, Mary Shelley's story in the Western world serves as both things. You know, but as you were talking earlier, we were all introduced to sci-fi and fantasy through the Bible, you know? So
yeah.
We were introduced to a lot of those concepts very early on before we even knew. So we were equating a lot of those things to the Bible when we were learning about them. So let me see. How do I equate zombies? Back to your question. I'm sorry. I digressed.
No, go ahead. That's the biggest genre of sci-fi gross in these movies today. And I think you got some similarities in your movie because remember the one with the woman, that she was a zombie. That's my favorite one. The one you had, which was a killer.
The Golden Killer.
Yeah. But what's your take on it? Zombieism is like, is a science. It's saying it's even with the CDC. So how do you take that? Because that's sci-fi to us as Night of the Living Dead. That's Blood Brother. That was a great movie.
Well, I'm a learning student just like you. And when I think of zombies, I go back to how we were introduced to zombies through white horror shows like White Zombie. And I never really took to zombies as a fear for me because it conflicted with two things that I believed in. And that dead people are our ancestors, and they're not out to get me. So anytime I thought of a dead person coming to life or something dead, I always believed that my grandmother would protect me. You know what I'm saying?
So Night of the Living Dead, which was Cesar Romero, which had the black guy.
Yes.
As a kid, we were quite astonished that a black guy was in a sci-fi movie at that time. It was like a great movie to us. It was like, hey, and he was actually the hero, but based on race,
right,
he ended up getting shot. But nonetheless, at that time, to me, most of you out there, I hope y'all listen, we're going to ask y'all some questions. What's your greatest movies out there? It seemed that was a pillar because so many zombie movies are out there now, and they're making a killing. So it's got to be like some play. And then they used to play on the voodoo thing, too. Remember the first, Serpent in the Rainbow?
Like,
y'all remember that?
That white take on zombies from H.P. Lovecraft of making them black voodoo, black magic, dark magic, that stuff didn't scare me. The virus caused zombies. That's what scared me. That did with Night of the Living Dead. The other one, my favorite, if I had to say my favorite horror movie, is the remake of Dawn of the Dead with Vin Rames and Mekhi Phifer.
That was great.
That hands down, because the zombies were running and they were full speed. And that was scary. So to me, that became
just like
my biggest.
Yes, and the same one with the movie with the I think it was called World War Z, Similarity.
Yes,
where it was a virus. Now let's go with the virus because a lot of movies, science fiction, your vampire movies. Because you got a few of that in there, and then we'll get into some of the books that you got so we can get people to get into them. What's your take on the vampire? Because remember, Wesley Snipes did a great vampire. Aaliyah did a great vampire movie, Dawn of the Dead. This
Queen
vampire
of the
thing,
Dead,
is, that goes into a lot of African stuff, too. Some of these horror people are actually out of Africa. If you look at the Orishas and all these demons are in that religion as well. So it's like horror and sci-fi is in our blood as well. So what's the take on our part where sci-fi is kind of like, you know, remember, according to the Bible, sci-fi, if you went against a certain God, you're going to get it. And that's kind of the concept we got now is we're getting it from not following the alien God. What's your take on these gods that are kind of like in sci-fi today? All the Justice League and all this.
Okay, well, let me go to your vampire question first. Vampires,
yeah.
In addition to drinking blood, they're also shapeshifters, right? So
right,
for me, the shapeshifter, I don't always mix the white mythos within the African diasporic manifestation. I do compare and contrast because when I look at the white mythos, I usually process it as a misunderstanding. You know, they don't understand the African element. And when I think of the African element, or even Native American or First World people, any of them, whether it's from America, South America, I look for the lesson. I look for the information in it, the parallel, the fable, the story. So that's how I separate the two. But
outside of separating them, the contrast is, I'm saying, there's an evil element to both ours as well. Like, it's not always good. Like, there's repercussions if you go against the evil and the good in our type of systems as well. So, like, a vampire in Africa is real. They believe in vampires. They believe in vampires.
Right.
It says they suck your blood, like you said, and shapeshift. Shapeshifting is real. Do you think shapeshifting is something that we should be looking at more closely? Because it seems to be an element in all religions of shapeshifting.
Well, here's how I process bad and evil. Evil, just to define the parameters. Evil is something that is bad all the time. Bad can be the consequences of doing something that you're not supposed to do. Give you an example.
Right.
If you put your hand in a flame, it burns. That, somebody might say, is bad. But the flame didn't attack you. You just did not know how to relate to the flame, so you put your hand in there. And I think when we look at African and First World mythos, the things that we process that are bad are merely consequences of doing something that we're not supposed to do, being somewhere that we're not supposed to be. It's not an Amityville horror where you're just
right.
Huh?
No, I'm saying that right. Go ahead.
That's
that
how
sense.
I process
it. Go ahead. Now, let me ask you.
That these things are not bad,
but,
you know, or evil.
But separating it,
uh-huh.
But separating it, I'm saying, that it's like the yin and yang concept. There's good and evil. Yin and yang means that
right.
It both exists parallel. Parallel, that's why that movie made with parallel realities. It's like there's duality in these movies and in the brain as
right.
well. So it's sci-fi part of that duality where they're mixing in our... So some people don't believe what we're talking about, you know, like the Justice League being a real group that is actually out there. Because right now, I just heard from my own peoples that go look up the technology for the Iron Man suit. Do y'all know Iron Man suit is
right.
now being manufactured? The Iron Man suit. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You got Jeff,
yep.
you with me? Now, how do you take that sci-fi?
Oh, yeah, I took those out from other people.
How do we take the sci-fi that we see in movies, and that's because you're a writer. Give me your thoughts how we can look at this on movies, and now we're actually living it. So, really, sci-fi is not fiction. It's real. So, give me your thoughts on how you look at the reality of all this coming together, like how
well,
we live through
it. Innovation and ideas come out of need. The same needs that we need in the real world, we need
mm-hmm.
as writers in our story. We develop these devices that we may need in our stories to accomplish a certain thing. And the same rules apply, reality. So the same gravity, the same jet suit that he may need in reality is the same thing he may need in stories because we try to blur the line. So, the thing that writers try to do is try to get ahead of innovation and invention. Sometimes they don't know all of the things that people are inventing, so they develop these ideas that have already been tried and not really perfected or just not really practical at the time. If you look at the things that Harold Ford and type of cars that were developed in the early 20s, many of those didn't make it to market because oil was the leading fuel. But they had electric cars. They just didn't. Things that happen in the real world are driven by practicality, economics, and kind of
right,
need at the time.
In order to have a Tesla, and now this is how it works, economics. In order, because I read a bio of Gene Roddenberry, one of the great sci-fi writers out there, and a few others.
Star Trek.
And let me let you know, the government, he had to meet with the government, everybody. You cannot write about anything militarily without sitting with the Pentagon. I hope y'all know, all you Hollywood aspirationists and so forth, all those who made movies on this had to sit with the Pentagon. That's a fact. That's why the military is so influential throughout football and Hollywood, because it's part of the paradigm. So let's go into where Gene Roddenberry, how do we know that they didn't show Gene Roddenberry and all these great writers what was going on at the time, and they got initiated into the council, because you must get initiated to get into the high levels to see these things. And so let's go with these premises that there are people in sci-fi that seen things that maybe me and you, and they wrote for us, that now we are now seeing in our time. So let's take the Jules Vernes and Captain Nemo type peoples and all that. Who's to say that they did not be initiated into a secret order, which they are many of them, in the gilded arts of crafts of entertainment. So if they got these information, wouldn't it be kind of easier for them to write about these sci-fi events? Because they're in a clique that is part of this manifestation of showing us what's really happening behind the scenes that is really factual, and then showing us and telling us sci-fi. So let's go with Gene Roddenberry. You don't think the phasers and the camcorder and the so-called phone that they talking for was actually the flip phone they already had prepared, and he just happened to be part of the program or that got to see it and said, well, you can write about this in a way, and they get to write about it. What's your take on them getting secret knowledge of sci-fi to really know that it exists? Because you got to have a source to make us believe it, and then it manifests itself in commercial. Because right now they got phasers, everybody, and laser weapons. This is a fact. So if they got that showing us through Star Trek, who we had as kids had no idea that was going to happen, you think they're getting it from a secret society type of thing? Because it is a lot of occult activity in sci-fi. I went to a few sci-fi conventions. It's filled with secret society.
First of all, as a writer, you need a lot more than just innovative ideas, okay? What writers can do for governments and organizations are the same thing that engineers do for a city planning company. So they may say, all right, let's see how it would play out if we build a highway down this part of the country, or we take the railroad this part of the country. And then the engineer will say, okay, well, then that'll bring X amount of people to this area. And if we have this amount of people, we'll need this amount of hospitals. We'll need this amount of
social planning. You got to have money for this. So the people who are
financing, we're saying it's all money. Mm-hmm. We're saying it's all money. So that's not the factor, because that's already a given. So we're saying if you want to test out, say, the impact that a cell phone may have on society or how we may use it, sometimes the creators, they don't always know all of the different ways that something might be used by people. You hire a writer. The same way they have ideas, but what I'm saying is that's the job that the writer can do. They can speculate about the impact of a cell phone society and include it in a story, because the story is the human interaction with the science.
Right.
So that's the role that I think the science fiction writer can play in terms of showing the innovators, the creators, the government,
right, Now, what about the people who get to see the inside story? Do you think secret societies are a part of sci-fi? Like, when I say
I'm not aware of any.
Okay, all right. I'm not aware of any.
Let's
get into the aspect of some of the books you wrote so we can get that going. You wrote on different genres. What's the one I like to hear about is the two ones, the Trois and El Cabalon and some of the others that you wrote, the sci-fi one with the drone, the clones. Give me your aspect and give people a little synoptic view of what those books entail that you wrote.
Okay. I'll start with the Trois Men because that's my current project, and we'll go back to that later on. The Trois Men is currently 5 days left on my Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding project. I'm going to people, not working for any government agency, to make this story happen. As a writer, I was inspired by the reality of the Trois people in world history, okay? The Trois people are one of the oldest human species that still live on the planet. As we know in biblical teaching and in other historical cultural references, pygmy and small people, along with giant-sized people, walk the earth. The giants may still exist, but they don't have full civilizations like they used to. The pygmies, on the other hand, they still live in Botswana. The pygmy is a foreign name for the people. The people call themselves Trois and other tribal names. Trois is just one of them, so it's the most popular. So I called my character the Trois Man. Now, in the Black British legend, they say that the Trois people were brought from Africa to Ireland, or they came there to help civilize them. St. Patrick was celebrated last Wednesday on St. Patrick's Day, was a Irish person who got jealous, and they give him credit for ridding Ireland of the snakes. Now, snakes never lived on Ireland. They're not indigenous. They still don't have snakes to this day. If people have pet snakes, that's fine, but they're not from Ireland. So the thing that Black British people believe is that he's talking about small people with dread hairstyle. So that looks like snakes to them. Same thing they did to the Medusa story, but we won't get into that right now. So that much history.
That's because let's go there because we did a lot of shows in the program and Dr. Ashwa Kwesi and Dr. Ben. And we know, and the Bible story actually tells you that there were giants in earth and small people in earth as well. Now, let's take that premise.
Right.
Now, I told you that the Pillars of Africa was right there into Europa. You heard earlier. I don't know how much program. So that tale was like, you said, I'm trying to figure out, because I'm glad you brought this up, because this is why I say they should get the books, because it makes us think now, here's a story about a black pygmy, what they were called the Nagas. Those who know that, they called the Nagas. The serpent people.
Right.
So they exist. Right. So how do you take that? Because they're very powerful. They're all over the earth. So how do we take that? So go ahead with the premise and then tell me how'd you come? Because it's like, that's a real story. That's real.
Again, I try to build off of those stories and make my own speculation on those different things. In my story, it doesn't really cover the origin of the people because there's a lot to tell. Now, I only got 20-something pages in a comic book to tell, but I plan on making more Trois Men stories. So in this first one, you see aliens coming to Earth teaching the Trois people and the Trois people inviting other human people from around the planet to learn from the aliens along with them. And then in the story, I make my Trois Men, for people that don't know the Marvel Universe, I don't necessarily deal with magic. I deal with science that people don't understand, right? To me, that's what magic is. Science that you don't understand.
Right. Well, that's what
Right. So,
agreed.
So the Trois Men is I let him be called the leprechaun because that's what they call him. And then from there, he
but that's
is
not
a superhero like Dr. Strange.
Leprechaun, look, they had leopard skins. Some of them had leopard skins that came over because they was able to do. People don't realize those names have magic. I mean, when you say magic, I say the same thing, but I say magic for the fact that it has a duality. It could mean good and evil. Some people take it as bad because you see white people worshiping it. But to the white people, this is their way of worshiping to black people. So go ahead.
What I made my left for the safety of the story is he's like Dr. Strange. He's an herbalist Dr. Strange, if you could imagine. He has the similar powers to Dr. Strange, but he uses natural elements. So not just herbs and plants, but all of the natural elements found here on Earth. And in this story, he is called back from a space battle that he is participating in on another planet to help find some missing girls in Nigeria. And he is confronted by a old adversary who is a genie. And that now we get into
Don't tell everything. You want to get the book. But that's so we go with that aspect of it. I'm gonna show y'all. Go to the page that we on, and you can go to this page. You can see Yo Jeff. Jump on there and take some look at the illustrations. Beautiful illustrations. Top quality. So let's go with the next one, because this word has always been bobbled around El Kabanah. I like that you took that premise, because everybody says it was Kemet. Some people call it El Kabanah, considered ancient Egypt. Give us that premise, and how'd you come to that one as well? Because that looks like a very highly put together.
Well, it is the anchor point of my universe. So the same way the Marvel has Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk, all in the same universe, I have all of my characters in the same universe. So I have a book called Thug Angel, which is about a gargoyle who fights vampires and werewolves. I have a story about Negro Mountain, which had a magical element to it. And then I have the Twa Man, and Planet of Kibalon is part of that universe. I call it the Holoverse. My first movie was called Holla If I Kill You, so I named the universe the Holoverse. So in that universe, Planet of Kibalon, taking from the name Al-Kibalon from Africa, is a stem cell planet. It is a birth planet of all life in the universe. And Planet Kibalon is, you can't see it. You can't find it. And in the story, what keeps it from being seen is taken down. And now it can be seen, and people start visiting Al-Kibalon. But Al-Kibalon has one rule, that it doesn't let the life forms that it creates take a home planet until they have a culture with a way to reproduce, intelligence so they can take care of themselves health-wise, and they know how to eat. So those are the things that I feel, that planet Al-Kibalon is able to do. So that story is just, that comic is the first part of the story. So it's three parts, and you learn a lot about planet Al-Kibalon and the people that live there. So, and what goes on the planet. And that's
now,
the, that's
let me
the,
ask
also
that because,
the
you know, we've been to a lot of, you've probably been to quite a few of these lectures and so forth, and it's pretty interesting. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We learned a lot from the from Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and so many others about Egypt. Egypt is a very written about subject, especially you being in college and different. What's your take on how they got Egypt? Remember back in the day where they had the star, where they would go into Kemet and they would, you know, Battlestar Galactica type of things and so forth like that. It seems like that story is kind of sci-fi as well, because the way the gods come down and, you know, these stories seem like, you know, it's in our psyche, but is it really a part of our whole culture? Because we have always heard of beings coming down since I was growing up. And so what's your take on that phenomenon that is worldwide? It's a worldwide belief.
I'm of the same mentality that you are. I believe that there's life out there in the universe. I believe that we are connected to it, not just that they visited us, but they are part of us. So I accept that. I don't believe the life is hostile. You know, when you listen, you know, so I like to do a lot of separation to show the importance of black sci-fi from Western sci-fi. So one of the things that, you know, not necessarily H.P. Lovecraft, he's the buzzword person now, but even before him, there was the one who did War of the Worlds. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells.
Not Jules Verne. H.G.
Wells,
right?
H.G. Wells.
Right. He's a European also, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
I think they thought from their culture's experience that they projected the same thing, the universe. They come from a culture that went around Earth on their water ships, terrorizing and destroying indigenous people. When these so-called, quote-unquote, explorers came to Americas and other parts of Africa, all they did was bring hostility, death, domination, and destruction. So
now, let me ask you that.
When
I
they
agree.
Write, huh?
Mm, great. Finish that thought.
Say?
No, finish that
so
thought.
When
so
they, okay. So when they think of what an alien might do when it comes to Earth, I believe they project the same thinking that is going to bring death, domination, and destruction. So that's their culture. When
let me ask you this, because we're talking about a culture that I know in the Western world. Let's just take that's the world that me and you were born in. But there's other worlds, Eastern, Northern, and so we got four worlds in our own. We just think of a Western perspective, but when you look at the Vedas, the different books that are saying that there was nuclear destruction and, flying ships, these are books way before the Bible, way before our concept. And they're actually during the African era of civilization. So they're also saying that they had a war. It was no white people at the time of these wars. So how do we look at sci-fi at the ancient level? Saying that, wait a minute, if the books show that we had a Sodom and Gomorrah and some radiation came down and, you know, what burnt this whole town up and what was the cause of these, you know, these so-called catastrophes, could be storms, whatever, they always had a God element personified over them. So,
right.
There's no white folks during the time of the Vedas in that era, or in Islam per se, then how do we look at these wars that we had, and then we can't blame white folks for wars that they weren't even around in. This is called ancient wars.
Oh no,
I'm not
blaming wars. Understand? Let me frame it again. I'm just talking about how they view aliens for trouble. You understand? I'm saying in the sense that when Africans, right? Not talking about the prehistoric Africans, because Sodom and Gomorrah had a purpose. Like I said, it wasn't just burn down a village. It was burn down a village because they were doing things that weren't healthy. So it wasn't arbitrary fire. There was a reason to it.
Well,
you know what
I'm saying?
But
that's the point of sci-fi. Now, according to these books now, they saying that radiation and even the Vedas. I'm talking about Indian people, blacker than black. I mean,
but I'm just,
black.
I'm talking about the.
How do we look at the how do we look at the sci-fi and then the Anunnaki? I'm gonna go there with you. I'm gonna give that perspective because in the Anunnaki sci-fi belief, the radiation and the bombs came out of South Africa. This is where they say the gold and everything is at. So how do we know that the violence of sci-fi did not start from us? Because most of the stories are on these continents.
Okay, those are two questions, right?
Right.
So let me
yeah.
take the come out of South Africa. Again,
right.
the time periods
right.
are different. The activities on Earth are different. Of course, there's not any white people. And even in the world today, Asians have a different view of what aliens would do. Americans have a different
right.
right. So South Americans have a different view, and they
right.
still stem a lot from their present day culture. So let me separate those conversations from the prehistoric conversations, because those conversations exist within that context. So in that context, you have what the heck was going on in South Africa. The same conversation that we have about what they find on the dark side of the moon being a mining place where they're having mining and stuff like that going on
right.
is
right.
similar
right.
to what
right.
they found in South Africa at
correct.
The time.
Correct.
Because
correct.
We're not
correct.
Talking about
correct.
South Africa, the Zulu nation, South Africa. This is pre-Zulu, right? This might even be pre-modern day African, right? We don't even
right.
know what those people look like in the time of the Akun, trying to pronounce the name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Akhenaten, right? So we don't even know whether we're dealing with black people or white. We know we ain't dealing with white people. We don't know what type of people we're dealing with. But we do know they were also mining something.
Right.
That's where they find those big mines. So maybe they made a mistake and hit something. Maybe they shouldn't have been mining it in the first place. Yeah, maybe there was a conflict over what they were mining and who owned it. All of those things exist. But again, the evidence that some person or group of people that don't know us came to Earth to destroy us is not there either. That theory isn't supported either.
I say control, because look at the Dogon. I mean, I went to sci-fi. I went to the ancient alien scene. The Dogon clearly states that something came out this, and most of your occult world worships the Pleiades. They worship Orion's belt. That's all in the Bibles. Even in Star Trek, they talk about Orion and different things that we thought was crazy because they were only coming out of Bible stories ends up on sci-fi. So it's like these stories might
right,
not
but
be.
Right, but none of that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but none of that projects a particular view of their opinion of us.
Africa is the number one nation. If you look at the Bible, those who know the Bible quite well, the first name of the Garden of Eden is Ethiopia. I don't know how much clearer they can give you. If you ain't reading it, it clearly states
right.
that the Garden of Eden is in Ethiopia. This comes out the King James Bible. That's like the dumbest Bible you can get. So even a baby can read that. So if it's like they tell you, and then all the continents of the first five of the book is on the continent of Africa. So I'm trying to figure out where's our disconnect. If sci-fi started in Africa, we should be like, wow, this is amazing. Because at this point in time, it looks like we're fulfilling a sci-fi book. I mean, Africa is about mining, gold, coltan. I mean, metals that are able to radiate in the sky to Earth.
Right.
That's amazing.
And so how do I answer that? Again, just like you, I really don't know, but I speculate that maybe they left. And they, you know, used up the resources, or they went somewhere else, you know, or they didn't want to use up all of the resources because Earth is probably not the only planet with said resources.
Right. There you go.
You know,
Earth
I'm just thinking.
That's a good one.
So I speculate that they left. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe they left a few people. Right.
And
they left a few people. But I do not see any evidence that we need to be scared of them.
Well, I don't know, dude. If you're taking a vaccination, I'm not talking about you personally, but if people are taking vaccinations, they're supposed to change their DNA, that's sci-fi right there, because I'm taking a vaccination like in the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, but that's
like,
not aliens. That's not aliens. I'm talking about
You got different people saying that's alien technology that has to go with fetuses.
Yeah, those are speculations. Those are all speculations.
Science will let us know.
I'm not saying that they don't have the right. I'm saying I don't agree with it. I don't accept that speculation.
So what is sci-fi? If you say sci-fi was always good, that's just your speculation. Everybody does not believe sci-fi is going to be used for good.
No doubt. That's why I reference H.G. Wells. That's why I talk about black sci-fi. Right. Black sci-fi is more optimistic because we haven't brought the things on Earth as a modern African that Western people have brought. Not even Western people. Not even with the Arabs. What the Arabs did, huh?
What do you mean with the Arabs? So you're saying that the Arabs who Dr. Clark and all them said that the Arabs. I just read the first sci-fi. In Arabic, it's called The Adventures of Bukakala. I mean, they got sci-fi.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not saying sci-fi. I'm saying the behaviors of the people in real life dictate or influence, are nicer
to us than
when I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the behaviors of real people. I'm talking about Magellan. I'm talking about Columbus. I'm not talking about science.
They came with the Moors.
Like I said, I referenced more than just Columbus.
Okay.
So as a whole, Henry Hudson, when I'm talking about the European explorers, they had a collective difference. So I'm not talking about one in particular. I'm talking about the group of that era where they were traveling around Earth. That same first-person behavior, real-world behavior, when the Arabs and the Berbers came down West Africa and they invaded, and the things that they even did in Kemet are directly related to the things that they imagined aliens would do.
Okay, we gotta take a break before we get to the top of the hour. Y'all here, this is gonna be a good show. First, before we go to a commercial, give them your information how to get these magazines. These are beautiful magazines, y'all go look it up. Beautiful catalog. He's been doing his work, putting in the grind, and we want to give him some shout outs. So give them the information so they can look it up, and then we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back. And for those of you staying with us, you know we're gonna go all day with it until they take us off. I don't know how long, brother, you got, but give us a shout out quick so they get the information.
Okay, I'll hang on to after the commercial break, and I'll still be able to do some more. My best way to reach me, which has all of my information on it, is through Kickstarter. That's one word, Kickstarter. And beyond that, you look for the Twa Man, T-W-A. Next word, man, M-A-N. And then you'll bring up my project, Jeff Carroll's project, and you will find from there all of the ways to get all of my books through supporting my Kickstarter. You can get discounts on all of my books, and you can get the Twa Man book. So I have approximately 5 days left to support that project. And that T-W-A, next word, M-A-N, and the Kickstarter on Kickstarter. So there you have it, and I'll wait until after break.
Yeah, all right. Again, y'all know we're talking about living the sci-fi life. Think you're already living it.
Welcome to Oh Ye Dry Bones Radio, the show that brings an esoteric, allegoric view of the past, present and future events in history. Like most other popular talk radio shows, we do focus on hot topic of the day with particular focus on current politics and the economy. Wow, this is our 7th anniversary, so we are trying to make big things happen for our show. So we humbly ask for a donation. So please go to www.drybonesconnection.news to place your donation. Thanks for listening to the radio show who brings you fruits of knowledge regarding our history and the talk show where facts matter. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Join us on air on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. with host Dry Bones, and Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. with host Antoinette by calling 515-605-9343. To listen to our archive of previous shows, go to www.drybonesconnection.news.
All right,
I'm back.
I'm hearing a lot of noise, so I don't know where it's coming from, but the noise needs to stop. Because we're trying to make sure everybody here, might have been you, but as you doing transactions, man, or we on the line, we're trying to keep, anyway, Cash App me, Drybone7 at Cash App. We're going to do some things. We're trying to make people come to understand that there is a way more information out there that we just do not get. And unfortunately, we try to bring it to you as we can. We're doing it today with our host and our good friend on the program, Yo, Jeff, Sci-Fi Life, we're talking. Those of you on the line, I'm going to bring it for you in. What y'all think about the Sci-Fi Life? Hit the number one button if y'all want to jump in. If y'all think y'all live in sci-fi, we just heard from a brother who writes and some of the same topics. I see the yin and yang. I think Jordan Peele did that in that movie that was kind of duality-based when he had on the outfits where going from the underground. What do you think about subterranean worlds, but Jeff, you think it's the cities being built underground, like in the sci-fi?
I know you talked about people on, and you talked about the Twa Man, but I'm in the middle of writing a series called the Harlem Shake series, and the fourth book of the Harlem Shake, I'm going to subterranean Earth, and my speculations are still being shaped. I do believe that, you know, I actually don't even worry about whether I believe some of these things or not, because until they have an impact on me, I just keep an open mind to all of these possibilities. But yes, I'm dealing with subterranean Earth. I'm dealing with breathable water or liquid oxygen where we can adapt our lungs like we were when we were in the embryo. Thick water. If you ever saw this movie called Abyss, there was thick water in Abyss that was oxygenated where they were able to actually breathe it. And they did not, their lungs, they were able to adapt their lungs underwater. That's part of what I'm dealing with. That's one of the scientific elements.
That was the movie Amphibian, that won an Oscar with the Black Sisters. That won an Oscar with an alien being, just like they sit in the coast. And amphibian being came out the waters, the murky waters, and that's how. And we are amphibians in the woman's. That's where the Aquaman. If you don't know that, everybody, that's where Aquaman able to breathe in the water. Aquaman. So basically, these concepts we've been molded already to. And it's beautiful to hear this because I'm like, you making me feel like a kid again talking about all this good stuff. Let me get some of you on the line. We got all the areas. Give us a sci-fi moment that you see in your reality that you see happening. And let's take it from there. I'm going to bring a lot of y'all in there so we can get this thing going on. 6661. New York. Let me go to New York. 9927.
Hi, Brother Jeff. How you doing? This is so awesome. I'm going to support this because I want to check out the book and everything, too. But my not really sci-fi because I live by real. When you were imagining, you're basically imaging everything that the energy and frequency that's coming out there, letting you know these are the things that actually was already here. There's nothing new. So all we're doing is replaying scenes. We're trying to put our memories back together because they've been taken away and scattered.
That's a good question. Hold on. Somebody got an echo on. Somebody has an echo. Somebody turn their phone down. Brother Jeff, turn your phone down and stuff because something ain't right.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Somebody, and Tony, you two on the line.
Okay. I'll mute myself.
I'm muting myself right quick, too, Dong.
Okay. There's a lot of echoing going on.
I just think, is the echo still there?
You got a lot of static. I know you're doing a lot of moving.
Oh, no, I'm sitting in my...
Somehow, it's a lot of static.
Okay,
hold on. Let me see what's going on. I want everybody to hear each other because, you know, y'all saying so much beautiful things. I hear you right there. Go ahead.
I don't hear any static on my end. So,
yeah, not me either. It was static going on between me and her. There's three lines, but I'm gonna try to bring y'all one at a time in. And
okay.
Because she mentioned something about the
reclaiming our stolen lives.
Right. Like we what we've seen. Nothing's new. Nothing's new under the sun. But it's like it seems like it comes back to us. Like we are talking about our past. What's your take?
Right, and that's actually the same exact word that I use to describe my Twaman project.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people I'm not making up anything. I'm just reclaiming the lie that's out there because there's so many lies. Like when I have a story where I'm writing about the Native American mounds, right? A lot of people don't know that the Native Americans built mounds very much like pyramids. And I'm writing about the use of the mound. But I'm not making that stuff up. I'm reclaiming it because it was lied about in the first place. They don't even teach us that the Native Americans had mounds, let alone large civilizations that supported a mound. But they did, you know, and they had real histories that were important that shaped the land that we live on. But we don't mention it, and they don't teach us. So if I'm teaching it, it's not making it up. Is actually using what I've learned and reclaiming it. So, yeah, that's what I did with the Twa Man. I reclaimed it, you know?
Definitely for something happening right now, so because it is a history. The Pygmy and the Twa people is very much a history of that we should be looking more into, but it's definitely worshipped around the world, especially small, diminutive people. It's
yep.
Very much... Part of the thing. Let me ask another question. There's a lot of echo. I don't know where and why, but
I'm still in my same spot, but I'll mute myself.
No. It may not be. I'm just saying there's something going on, but we'll just get everybody that can.
Okay.
Let me go to 8554.
Hey, Drybone, that might be your line, man, because there's a lot of echo and feedback coming out.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm going to ask this quick question for the brother. What's your take on the anti-life equation that was mentioned in the Justice League movie, and it doesn't relate to what's going on today with COVID-19?
You know, I'm not the biggest DC fan, and I actually got to go watch the original Justice League again to see all of the things that Zack Snyder put in there, but I did watch it, and I like the anti-life terminology because what we're doing is we're trying to explain high concepts in a practical way to people, and that's good. However, I don't see life after life as an anti the life that we're in now. So I wouldn't call it anti-life, but I do see that we do have a post this experience. One of the things that my teacher, James Small, loves to say is that We are a collection of energy having experience in this body. But we exist before this body. We will continue to exist after this body in various forms because our what we are, atoms or molecules that define who we are just coming together for this particular time. They may join in another formation or with other molecules in another experience, on another planet, in another type of life. So the concept of life is what we embrace and what I embrace, but I don't embrace it as an anti-anything. I don't embrace it as a negative anything, like anti-life. No, I don't even subscribe to that concept. And that's what they were presenting.
Now, let me just say this. Even in the Black Panther movie, and this was a great movie, it seemed like they had made a big mistake, and they tried to rectify it, but at the end, they end up giving all the knowledge to the UN. Do you see African countries doing that today? Like the UN is, I mean, the head of the World Health Organization is Ethiopia. So it's kind of like, these stories are coming true. You know, you might not attribute to it, but look at Africa as part of the World Health, the United Nations. That's part of Black Panther. What do you think about all that coming to fruition, that they are a part of this?
Well, I think, again, as a good writer, you're going to use the existing resources and try to make it as believable as possible. Do I think they gave everything to the UN? I wouldn't be that stupid. But we also have to realize that the Black Panther movie that we saw was remixed by several black people in the comic books by Christopher Priester, in the comic books by Reginald Hudlin, and then in the film by Ryan Coogler, right? But the concept was created by Stan Lee and other white creators. So the black people remixed it, and they did a very good job, but it's not the same as if a black person would have done it. Like, I give you an example, and I'm going to talk beyond my work, right? Because I'm writing to actually keep up with other black writers, right? So
right. You're in competition.
I would like to say I compliment the writers that have come before me and the writers that write beside me, as well as even challenging the writers that will come after me. But that said, one of the books that I claim as my favorite black science fiction book is called Zorro, Z-U-R-O, A Tale of Alien Adventures. So in this story, there are aliens that come to Earth from a planet called Zorro. Now, I don't know if the planet exists in any shape or fashion, but that's the element of it. And they bring with them a black agenda, very much like Killmonger. So I don't know if you've been on my Facebook page, but I wrote this comic script, one page, last year called The Adventures of Super Black, right? And I explored the agenda or the stress that a super black person would experience in the present Earth that we live in, specifically America. And you remember how much pressure Barack Obama was under to do things for black people? Some say he didn't even do anything for black people, but he was supposed to, right? So I asked the question, imagine if there was a black superhero. Would he even be able to exist without dealing with racism and inequalities towards black people on the planet? You remember that guy, Eugene Goldwyn, who was the black officer in the white, the Capitol building raid, and he was the one credited with leading them down the wrong path?
Right.
You remember that gentleman? Yes, I speculate about how do black people operate in a world where they have to protect white people that don't like them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say all white people are racist, but I'm going to say there certainly are a large amount of them. So I don't know how they operate.
Well, let's say this. I mean, you know as well as I do that you being in the South and I being in Florida, you're going to deal with white people. But at the same token, I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. But let's take that premise because that's going to be a good premise. How do we deal with the white people who have influenced so many black minds themselves? Because let's take Black Lives Matter. That started by a white man.
I don't know. I it's so much.
You don't know. Come on. Dude, you on dry bones here. We don't say nothing. White man created. I can play the tape for you. Remember, because white man created. And that's why, and those of you, I got the tape on Sci-Fi. I'm going to show you a Black Panther who time traveled. Let me see. It's just too much noise being made.
I hear nothing. I'm still clear. I haven't moved.
No, I'm glad you're good. Stay with me. Let me get some more people in. It could be the station. Don't worry about it. These things happen on Blog Talk Radio. We mentioned some things like Killmonger. Killmonger was one who came from the United States. He ain't like Africa. Let's take that character. He didn't like Africans. A lot of Africans today in America do not get along with Africans because they're from the country. So I thought that was being genius by putting that slavery because Killmonger would have been like, y'all ain't did nothing for us. I ain't seen no reparations for all the African nations that helped. So Sci-Fi is really real, everybody. Sci-Fi is real. The real concept. Let me get to some Sci-Fi right here, right quick. Deal with me right quick. I'm going to get a bunch of y'all in here. If you hear echo, just have to hear it. It's got to be the internet. And we'll leave with that. Let's go with what we're seeing. Let me ask you a few things. Sci-Fi can control weather. What's your take on Hulk?
I do believe that there is, and we see that. So, yeah. I do believe that they have the ability to see clouds and have impact on weather. We've seen what fracturing does with earthquakes, and that's what happens with Haiti. I use fracturing in my book, The Harlem Shake. So, yeah, I do. There's evidence.
The Harlem Shake. One of y'all get that one. Let's go with there was a sound again. I'm gonna bring some of y'all in. Just deal with the sound. I can't do it. 4007. Bringing you back in. 9927.
Yeah, Dry Bones, you mentioned earlier about the Pentagon. And,
go ahead.
And that all the writers have to speak with the Pentagon. So, you know, the Pentagon has almost $30 trillion missing from their budget, so that explains a lot of the stuff that we don't know.
Right. Agreed.
Unaccounted.
All of them have, anybody who's dealing with Hollywood, any sci-fi writer that has to write about space or anything, when they get to that level, you have to sit with the Pentagon and they accept you. You get to see the technology that they are now working on. I don't even know how many people don't. All you got to do is go to Geek Magazine. And you can see the technology that's out that is sci-fi. They got a robot cop going to guard Mars parking lot because y'all going crazy because you took the shot and now your cell phone is connected to 5G. And look what's going on here in Florida. They're fighting in the damn airport, everybody.
Yo, that was a that
just
was
like
a good
the movie
fight.
Said they would. Oh, man, what's outrageous? That was outrageous.
That was outrageous.
The police officer didn't even know what to do. Now, in the near future, they're just going to get the robot cops to stun you. That'll exonerate the people who are actually the cops. Because they're going to make them look bad like they ain't unqualified in the next few years. And they're going to start implementing slowly the Terminator cops. Now, y'all think I'm making this up, but guess I've been right a lot. People used to say, "Oh, you remember Jeff? I can say stuff." Everybody said, "You crazy? You remember them days?" I said, "No, no. Now we actually seeing them things." What's your take on Cast of Society? That's sci-fi. Let me hear from you on that one. Cast of Society. Is that any of your books deal with no cast? Like, you're under a chip, microchip, any of your books deal with that?
In my, I have a story called Welcome to Boss Lady's Planet, which mirrors, but again, just like you, it's hard to speculate and be exact. So just as we saw with this vaccine for the coronavirus, in my story, Welcome to Boss Lady's Planet, it's another planet, it's a different planetary system, but they have what they call the health chip. And the health chip, it's supposed to be a way for your body's functions to be monitored in a plug-up scenario. Like when you go to the doctor, they'll hit a scanner, and the nanites in your body will be able to report on the health of your organs and other things. But
so that's not sci-fi no more.
Yeah.
That's real.
No, no. I wrote this 6 years ago. Who knew whether it was real or it wasn't?
Yeah. No, you knew it was real. Dude, if I knew it was real 6 years ago, you knew it was real 6 years because we've been keeping up with the knowledge of what's going on in sci-fi. If you go to any sci-fi convention, they will tell you what they're talking about. And nanotechnology has been around for the last 10 years. Just like quantum physics. Look at Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Am I on the line?
Yeah, you're on the line.
Yeah.
You're on the line, sister. Come on in. I need some more calls. You got to get some more
stock. 2024. MIT said by 2024, it'll be on high on the stock market, and that everyone will have medical pills that they can swallow, or it'd be injected so that they can be able to track and the nanobots. And also, like you said, scan you and tell you what's wrong with you and tell you what you need to do. That's actually it. That's science real. I live science real. We live science real.
Yeah, we in science.
Exactly. Yep. So it's not science fiction. I like that term, science real.
It's science real. Better take that. Hey, y'all better fight for the right to that one. Y'all better jump on it quickly. That's real. Let me go to 888-554-7427. I'm going to ask y'all about the cop. Remember RoboCop, everybody? Now, you thought that was sci-fi. But it's not. It's reality. They are
mind transplanted. Yes.
So that's why I say sci-fi has been, remember, y'all got to realize, I grew up in a sci-fi era, the $6 million man, the bionic woman. Remember them days, everybody?
Did you see a movie called Chappie?
Yes, Chappie was good. That was South Africa, and made by Indians.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So in Chappie is a better example of what they tried to do in RoboCop, and even in Ex Machina. Ex Machina was kind of boring, but that was another movie where they tried to speculate about human brains in robot bodies. But
well, they got it out now. It's not no more thinking about.
They have armies of robots already made, and
already
they are having warehouses, and people got to realize it's real. They're not playing. These are their weapons. The whole goal, like you said earlier in the show, brother, when you were talking about how they're weaponizing. Everything is dealing with weapons. We're dealing with invaders. These invaders are trying to make weapons so that they can invade the planets and protect their minors, like you said. And that's the whole purpose of the zombies. Because, see, the zombies, they can just put them out there. And then the next thing you know, there'll be whatever beings will come out and attack the zombies. That way they can monitor it. And then when they monitoring these zombies or these other off-world dimensions, they can determine what to use against these beings
so that they can annihilate over the planet. This is the dimension around. This is the mindset of the beings that are on our plane right now.
Hold on. Let me, you're making sense. I'm going to make sure everybody's on the same way because I know it's not a, I hear a lot of static. I don't know if y'all do, but that's fine. If y'all don't, that's fine with me. As long as y'all can hear each other. Let me say this. Hold on, let me do a turn down. You're doing a good show like this. And this is a hot show. Y'all better get the hot hot. This one here. This one here is going to be hot. Now, let me ask everybody who's listening. An alien with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
They were going into space to bring in a new species. They already had that clone that they didn't act like they knew it was a clone. Y'all seen Clone Aid is real. It's right off the Bahamas. That's where it was, on the island in the Bahamas. How do we know clones ain't among us? What's your take first? You, Brother Jeff, can clones be among us? And I'm going to ask y'all around the country.
I have a book, another one. I'm going to tell you because, again, I've been thinking about this stuff for a long time. But I have a book called Rashida the Zombie Killer and the use of sound vibration technology to manipulate people's DNA, right? In the sequel that I didn't write yet, just give me an idea, it plays off of sound vibration human cloning. The challenge for human cloning is memory transfer.
Okay. Yeah, well, Jeff, move around a little bit. Move where you at. Let me see if it's just you.
Okay, I'm going to get out my car and walk around.
Yeah, you sound much clearer. You sound much clearer.
Okay. I don't know. I'm in my car in the park, so I'm getting ready to go bike ride.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So
well,
give them
one more shout out, and we'll get back with you. Thank you for joining us this morning, man. But yeah, because I know you've been with us for a minute. But go ahead, give us
okay.
Tell us
what I was
to
just
you.
Saying. Okay. I'm gonna give out myself, the Twa man. But let me just make my last point about the, you might not have heard me about the cloning. The biggest challenge for cloning is memory transfer. Not only are we the same DNA patterns of ourselves, you can duplicate the DNA pattern, but your clone will not have your complete memories, and many of us are a product of how we ate and how we lived our lives. So they may not have the same health that we had at 40 or 30 years old. So we are not only a collection of our memories and experiences, but our
patterns. They can't transfer. They already talking about transferring whole brains and clone aid.
Well,
I don't know if you ever looked this up. Look up clone aid. It's been around for 30 years. Michael Jackson invested in it, and I'm telling you, they're far beyond what we think.
Yeah,
appreciate, man. Give them your information. I'm gonna take some more callers, and we're gonna go to another phase of the program. Guess what, y'all?
Okay.
The Black Panthers was time traveling. Go ahead.
Okay. So here I am. You can see my current project on Kickstarter, crowdfunding, no government involvement. I am on Kickstarter with my project called Twa Man, T-W-A space M-A-N, two words, Twa Man. My name is Jeff Carroll. On there you can get all of my comic books, particularly the Planet of Kibalon and my book, Rashida the Zombie Killer, and you can see all access to all of my works. It was a pleasure talking to you. I got a whole lot of ideas, and I hope I inspired some people.
We're going to do it again because sci-fi is here to stay, dude.
And also, the next book of Planet of Kibalon will be coming out later this year, hopefully by June. So even when that comes out, I can talk to you about that.
Well, sit with me on that because we could do something. Yeah, we add some elements in there because it's going to be interesting. I like that. Keep in touch, man. Hey, enjoy your ride, bro. South Florida, baby.
Thank you,
sir. Get to ride bikes here. You get to ride here. South Florida, baby. Bikes.
All right.
Thank you, man. Hey, we about to take it to another level, y'all. Get ready, because we told you. I did not know that they pulled this stunt on us. It's amazing. And the cloning. Like again, everybody got their belief on things. But I'm going to tell you straight up. They way beyond our expectations. If the prostitutes are scared of the robots, that's a sign right there. How real can they be? Real live.
Yo, Dry Bones.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, what he just mentioned about the memory transfer, you can see that very clearly in Old Slow Joe. Because he can't function.
They can't memory transfer him. Dude,
no,
he's old as hell.
They cannot. Yeah.
And first of all,
they're setting him up to die off so the sister can jump
right.
in. That's what that looks like to me.
Okay, let's go to sci-fi again. 24. The series was Kiefer Sutherland. And didn't the president get killed at the last show and the woman became president and the country went to total chaos?
Yes.
Ain't she from Oakland?
Yep.
Let's get the program started. 7427, you are the Helios. We about to get hot. Get ready.
Greetings, Dry Bones. And I appreciate, love you, bro, for bringing that brother on, because we needing to overstand the next generation and the mindset and what they're putting
forth.
You've been on sci-fi, and I've been listening from the whole show, and you got to go all the way back to 1966 when they were talking about the Russian and the CIA, and the sci-fi movie was The Fantastic Voyage. That shows you the technology where they injected a submarine with scientists inside the human body to go in there and find the memory and remove to attack this blood clot of the scientist who was in a coma. And this is already showing you in 1966, but we got to go back to 1909 and look at historically what Harvard did when they took about writing an anthology of sci-fi. And there are 40 books. Do you know that Du Bois wrote The Comet? Delaney in 1897 wrote a sci-fi book. There's about 40. I sent it to you, the listing of the 40 books that were written. You know, one of the great sci-fi women was Octavia Butler. And you're just talking about Biden and Kamala, but they just showed you the script when they killed the president of Tanzania, and the sister now is the president, because that's the same thing that happened in the history when you look at Nkrumah, Jomo Kenyatta, and Julius Nyerere. So what we're seeing is a cycle, and when the brother was talking about the Twa people, because the human DNA that science has already proved, and they took placentas from women and found that the Twa, that woman that those people he wrote about, are the original humans' DNA code of all humans right now on the planet. And the brother was even more knowledgeable when he said the Mississippians who built the earth mounds in the first cities on Turtle Island, and the Dakota Nation holds the star bundle of 52,000 years of star knowledge. See, we're in a fleet of 10 planets that is making its way back around the Milky Way galaxy. We're a fleet of planets. This is a starship, and we're going around.
Wow.
And what we're doing is at this planet, and all these other planets are maneuvering in our solar system as a starship.
Let me get with you, because I don't know how much you heard the show, but I said the ancient people already wrote this already.
I know, but what I'm sharing is that
they told us this. They said they got flying machines. They could destroy whole cities, war in the heavens, starships. We're coming out this era, and here go the same.
We're right back at 2024 BC, right? That was what you just said, that the Sumerians talked about 2024, the radiation. BC, we're getting ready to go to 2024 BC, mm-hmm. before COVID. They said before Christ, now they got 2024 BC, before COVID. Ooh. Before COVID came out, we was moving around. Now we're right back. The sci-fi is rewritten.
That's a good one. I like that. He say, hey, it's real talk, because that's sci-fi. Now let's go there, man.
Right.
I'm glad you said it. Because time's going to change, obviously, because everything going to be considered pre-COVID.
Before
COVID. Okay.
Everything is before COVID. And you go to what? AD. Artificial destruction. That's what's going on now. Is because we got AI. Artificial incarceration. They're incarcerated.
Now, is that global? Is that going to be a global incarceration? I mean, I'm just getting everybody in line.
And if you look up the word incarceration, when you look up the etymology, means it's to make flesh. To make into flesh. That's all incarcerate means.
Well, that makes sense to me. Make into one body. Let me go to New York. 7981. You've been holding.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing real quick. There's a movie out a long time ago. It's called Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And they were on Mars and how they cloned him, but they couldn't clone his memory.
That's right.
They couldn't clone his memory. They cloned him, but not his memory. So, you know, that's all I want to say. Interesting show.
That's
though.
Deep.
Very interesting.
That's deep. Yeah, I forgot. And I liked that movie, too. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Hey, Drybones,
there's been a lot of movies like that.
Don't forget that. Don't forget the Empress of the Washita, who put the book out, The Return of the Ancient Ones. Remember, we are the ancient ones. We've been here.
Now, let me ask that, because here we go. I'm going to play an ancient one. I want everybody's view. Everybody on this line, mute yourself. I'm gonna bring y'all all back in. I won't mute you. But mute yourself. Now, this is what I consider unbelievable. Somebody make a noise. Mute yourself, please. Just mute yourself so we can gotta hear you moving. Everybody get it here. Now, y'all remember we had them shows about Black Lives Matter, how they were controlled by white folks. We had these shows about how they're going to make the black folks do brainwashing them to be part of the system. Remember the weather underground, where they said Bill Ayers was part of a terrorist group here in America. They had carte blanche. They were able to bomb buildings, everything. Everything you see now. Did you know that Fred Hampton told us, see, I got to take some, see, that's what I say. I asked y'all to mute yourself. I'm hearing somebody background TV. There we go. We don't take that. Okay, I'm bringing y'all back in. Now, what we gonna do here is leave everybody. Now, mute yourself. I'm gonna bring everybody back in. Fred Hampton out of Chicago did a thing. I'm only 1969, I'm 4 years old, and you telling me what he said here is the same thing that the communists was going to do. And this is Fred Hampton. This is supposed to be a sci-fi plot, just like a movie out of black exploitation. Listen to him. It's like he's seen what's going to happen. Same thing happened today. Listen carefully.
Fred, where does the Black Panther Party stand concerning the Weathermen, the SDS?
We stand way back from the SDS and the Weathermen, because we believe that the Weathermen action, there's two actions, there's REM2 and Weathermen. We think they call them both national action. We think that REM2 is national action, Weathermen is national reaction, you know. We think it is anarchistic, opportunistic, individualistic, it's chauvinistic, it's custeristic, and that's the bad part about it. It's custeristic in that it's leaders take people into situations where the people can be massacred, and they call it revolution. And it's nothing but child's play, it's folly, and it's criminal because people can be hurt. We say that they're doing exactly what the pigs want them to do. When they take people down and just do nothing, play around, and the pigs are prepared for this, and they'll wipe all of those young people out. We think these people may be sincere, but they're misguided, they're muddle heads, and they're scatterbrains. The only way we can show them is to criticize them like we're doing right now, and then leave from here and go to the federal bill and have a demonstration that's to educate, a demonstration that is disciplined and organized. You know, and that's what we're going to have to do, and let them see the example.
Tell me why you feel the approach of the SDS weatherman is wrong.
I feel it is wrong, just as I said before.
No, don't tell me just you said before. That's why I asked you again. Just answer straight, because okay. In case we use this part.
I feel that is wrong.
Let me ask you again. Why do you feel that the approach of the SDS weatherman is the wrong approach?
I feel that is wrong because it's pig action. They're doing exactly what the pigs want them to do. They're leading people into a situation where it's an astronomical situation, too great for the people to deal with. It's a situation where you got a bunch of mechanical pigs with 357 magnums and shotguns and mechanical mace and all that type of thing. And then they're talking about they're going to carry on a revolutionary struggle. That's not revolution. It's insanity. It's a madness. It's nostalgia. And it's a massacre. That's what it's a potential massacre. That's what it is. And we don't support that because we say all power to the people. All the power is manifested in the people. We don't have any people whose lives we believe that should be thrown away.
Has the Weatherman SDS tried to get you to go on their side? Have you met with them, and what happened?
We met with the Weatherman faction of SDS several times. We've had ideological struggles, and we have ideological differences. So what we did was we had the other faction of SDS that agreed with the Black Panther Party called for an alternate action, a way of discipline, an action not to provoke pigs, an action not to talk about setting up confrontations with the pigs, because the people are not ready for confrontations. These confrontations that they have are premature. They're politically premature, and they're wrong because they commit people in a situation which they're not anywhere prepared for.
Well, why do you think the Weatherman SDS tried to link the Black Panther Party to its movement?
I don't know if it was actually the Weatherman of SDS. I'd have to say that it was the establishment press that is nothing but a tool of Warden Nixon's machine. We call him Warden Nixon because the whole world is a penitentiary, and he's just the warden of the whole world. And you see, these people are just an arm he uses for fascist oppression, you know. And I think today these fascist news media might have did that.
Now, briefly, how would you sum up what the Weatherman SDS is trying to do and what you think of what they're trying to do?
I'd say that basically they believe that white people need to learn how to struggle, that they believe that these white workers need to learn how to struggle through confrontations. I'd have to say that basically I believe that this is incorrect. I believe that white workers have been struggling. They're some of the most violent people in the world. I believe that what they need is they need a redirection in their ideology and in their politics. They need to know who to struggle against. The workers need to start to begin to learn that their job is to struggle against the bosses. And until they do this, then struggle is incorrect. It's like no struggle at all. We say that if you don't struggle correctly, you shouldn't struggle. But you should struggle. We said dare to struggle and you dare to win. Dare not to struggle and you don't deserve to win. But we have to struggle properly.
What about the special approach of Weatherman, which seems to be violence?
Well, you see, I don't think it's really violence, you know what I mean? I think it's just a lot of folly. It's a lot of child's play. I think that to have violence, you've got to be able to cope with violence, you know what I mean? And that's what the Black Panther Party, a lot of people say we're violent. We're a self-defense organization that believes that the people should be educated to what's going on. We do defend our offices and we do defend our homes. This is a constitutional right. Everybody has it. Nothing funny about that. The only reason they get mad at the Black Panther Party when they do it is for the simple reason that we're political. And they don't want to admit this. There are a lot of young organizations around, but we are a political organization. We're an organization that understands that politics is nothing but war without bloodshed and war is nothing but politics with bloodshed. That it's just like you stretch something, and it goes, you can stretch things, they're going to be in another thing. If you stretch politics so long, it'll be war, and that's where we're at.
Well, then why do you feel it's so important for the Black Panther Party to disavow any real link with the Weatherman SDS?
I think it's important because there are a lot of people that watch the Black Panther Party, for example. They observe us and participate with us. And if we can be connected up with this, then it would be very unadvantageous to the people, and it would be very unadvantageous to the struggle, in that people that claim to be revolutionary would be going down roads that they think might be revolution, but in fact they're not roads of revolution. They'll be going east when their intentions are going west. And also it's important because Chairman Bobby Seale is in town. and he's being tried by this fascist judge, Adolf Hitler Hoffman, you know, and he's being tried without a lawyer. And we've got to bring all of the attention and focus on this trial that we possibly can so that people can understand that these people are more capable of building gas chambers than Hitler ever was capable of building gas chambers. And we're going to have to get together. We're going to have some anti-gas chamber marches.
Now, I'm going to leave it there. We're going to take some calls. Y'all got your book. Now, that's Bobby. That's Fred Hampton. Mentioned Bobby Seale. You heard what he said, the weatherman. The weatherman was the ones that was the socialists that was the ones doing the bombing, tearing up stuff, just like today they under Black Lives Matter. Now, any black who does not know that Black Lives Matter was started by a white man, you know they ain't doing no research. That's all I'm going to say. It's impossible to not define the connection. It's impossible. It's going to lead you to this group that he just said. It's going to lead you right to him. We did a show called The Weatherman.
Dry Bones.
Sci-fi. Sci-fi real. You in sci-fi right now. Go ahead. Jump in.
Yeah, and what he's talking about, and I was on my way to Vietnam in 69, so that part right there was part of the Panther Party. But student nonviolent, I mean, Students for a Democratic Society, that's what the SDS was. And we're looking at right now today at the Democratic Party and what's going on with us today. It's the same thing that was happening, what he was speaking about in 1969, is what we're dealing with right now today with the Democratic Party. And so either one of the parties, because he says politics is war without bloodshed. And war is politics with bloodshed. Either way it go, because what we were standing for in the Panther Party was we wanted to have the right to defend ourselves and to patrol our own communities the same way that they have been doing for themselves with their white structure system.
Well, I found out that we did. Those y'all in line, I want y'all to know that black folks laid a foundation already. There was plenty of areas that white folks did not go in. We looked this up. We did a program on that they were scared of. They said, we ain't going to now. Because they knew. And then they made these treaties with these groups. Y'all just look up the gangs of New York, where the Irish and black community had a major agreement. And then Italians later, which was a great movie, showed you. And that remember, if you get deep into the books, man, it was a whole bunch of marriages going on. That's what they feared of. Now, the powers that be don't want us to have, they want us to be separated. Let's just say that.
The Jews have their own police departments right now in New York.
Who?
The Jewish community have their own patrol system, their own court in their own community.
Yeah. Of course. Brooklyn, Bed-Stuyvesant. I mean, they got the, even in Buffalo, they got, even in Miami, they got, so, but here's the thing. Let's get deep into this one. Sci-fi is cut. You just heard say the Israeli government, I said, played it, so I'm glad you brought this up. They say aliens it is. I told you the Bible story is about aliens. And so, in my opinion, on what we're seeing, the Jewish community has now been under a serious attack on their own people. They are now so brainwashed. I went on their own Jewish sites. I just wanted to see what they say. They were mad that their governments are making them almost like the days of Hitler. They got to wear a bracelet now, everybody. They got electronic bracelets, all connected to this technology. Now, whether or not we see this coalition against them, I don't know, but I just know this much. From what we seen,
the movie what we told Songbird you on sci-fi. Just came out.
Say again?
The movie Songbird came out December 2020, COVID-23. And what is it that they have to have on? They have to have on the bracelets.
They had to have on a bracelet. And the bracelet is already manufactured and on them. So I go to the Jerusalem Post. And many of them are comparing their own self to, like, what if we keep this up, it'll be like what was it happened to us when we had, they said, let's put the tattoos on us now then. So they people are starting to see this, that the government that's supposed to hate Hitler and has supposed to be against all of what Hitler said is now making their own people put on this bracelet. Now, you judge that. But I swear,
Dry Bones, they
like
are the, they are the not, they are the Hitler. That's the Hitler.
Hey.
That's they are the ones. They're doing
hey,
the
they
same
show,
thing to themselves and everyone else.
They
that's
show
who they are.
They ain't got even. They show Indiana Jones, and y'all said it.
No,
but Walt Disney, everybody.
The New Avengers.
But,
the new Avengers movie when
the black guy
showed the holograph.
The black guy's
the
new Avengers.
Nazis.
But the black
the holograph that he showed with the Nazis brought that in. Brought the technology.
Right.
But you saw the whole thing was is to resurrect Superman, and it was a black man before the Chinese man was put in over charge of that laboratory. And he was the one who recloned his son and made his son the Cyberman, who understood the zeros and the one for infinity and gave him the power to be able to transform it.
Go ahead. The WB, that's the movie that's come on now. The WB with Falcon and who else is on? They got two of them on the WB, black superheroes, and they show they're going to have a black Captain America. They're going to have a black woman, and they're going to have a transgender. Captain America. So obviously, they're using science and the German technology, like you just said. And again, it's not a jump on the German people, because I just want people to know, the German people said they got most of their information from the United States. Let me go to 1-877. They even admit that.
But
they treated Jesse Owens good, everybody.
The name of the people is telling you what it is. It's the germ.
Yeah.
If you look at Prometheus, it tells you the whole thing of the sci-fi Prometheus. When he came and dropped his DNA into the water, water has memory and consciousness.
Yeah, but that does not mean that, I mean, I understand that. That's great. But y'all acting like the Greeks were white. They weren't. They were just Christians. They were black. 1-877. So that means that we told our own story again of our own demise. 1-877.
Yes. I agree with that totally. We have to realize that the aliens that are here were in contact with our people, that was already here. And we claim to be the first people. You know, so if they came from another planet, another place, they had to reach us first. And we have to admit this and have accountability that our conditions right now and our country is ran by the aliens who've been here forever. You know, it goes back to the ancient days from when Anaki said, you know, they came from the skies. So I think that we are so caught up in the white and black issue that we get lost in thinking that the white man is responsible for everything. But it's impossible for people who want to kill babies, use the abortion fetus to create vaccines, to put it in food, makeup. They cannot be human people that want to kill babies and promote that. You know, the Black Panthers, you know, every group that we've ever had has been infiltrated or started by, you know, people who wanted to, the FBI, who or even Martin Luther King. We always think that it's a black life, and we always think that it's a black thing, but really we've always been played, you know, with history and with things that's going on right now in front of our eyes.
Well, think about what
we never hold them accountable.
I have to say. Now you, this is 1969. I'm little. I don't know what age you little, but bunch of y'all, a few times y'all was in it. Let's even take the ones in it. The man told us that these groups called the Democrats this and the Weatherman, I'm giving y'all the name. If y'all don't know who the weather people were, they were whites that were able to bomb shit up and act like they was had a right to do it. This is a fact.
We saw them again on January 6th.
They're the same, but they're the same people that's funding Black Lives Matter. And we act like that's like, our people act like that don't mean nothing. I'm like, wait a minute, dude, the money is coming from a group that is old and knows what they're doing.
Right, they created the KKK.
Right, but forget the KKK. Let's just deal with what these people can understand, right? Because the KKK, they don't even understand that Masonic stuff.
That, but I'm saying it's the white Democrats that was behind that as well. They've been behind everything. The Black
right.
Panthers,
but let's go with
Martin
the
Luther
Black
King.
The Black Panther man said what we all heard. He said that we should not join these groups because they're going to get us killed. Ain't that what he said, everybody?
Yes.
I'm listening. Your line's open.
Yes, he said that. But I don't understand why people do not look at history
and
not listen to what these people are saying and look at the current present time that we're in right now.
Right.
There's
the
nothing new
said,
under the sun.
I got you.
Right. But what
the
you,
man
what
said,
you
don't
said
do
is the black and white. The black and
no,
white
he said that
talking about.
He said that this group called the Weathermen and the these two groups were prolifically, and during the civil rights era, they the ones getting all the money.
Right.
This is a fact.
But what she was,
so,
but what she said.
But blacks at your time, you did not even know this at this time. Because if you were in that era, you did not know that until later on. Because you were young too. Even if you was young, you would not have known that they was being orchestrated until later in your time frame. I'm trying to figure out how
even Martin Luther King said. Even Martin Luther King didn't
time.
See it. He didn't even
but
see
what,
it. He said his dream became a nightmare.
Right. So
but
how can
I'm
y'all tell me now,
you.
In 2021, if y'all really couldn't see this, and now you only see it the same time I'm seeing it, imagine how far ahead they are.
But what I'm sharing,
take that
Dry Bones, is what she said, the black and white. Black and white is not, it's what is put, when you look at any book and you open it up, the letters in the pages on the book is black and the page is white.
Yeah, but that's not
whatever we're putting into the history books and putting down and writing it down, we're regurgitating what is being written. The black and
right,
the white. That's how.
Right. That's what we're saying.
This is how sci-fi
the thing is
written.
The black and white has become a race issue here, because I noticed that most of us are still talking about the black and white man. The black man after 400 years don't even have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out. I know history. You know history. Am I lying that after 400 years? You're telling me that,
but see, we had our story before that 400 years.
We know we got that point. This is the point we got to get to right here. This story
it was
we
never
heard
400 years
heard,
either.
400 years is what is where we at right now with our story. Most of us, Turtle Island, we heard that, but you Moors, the Moors of this story, and I want you to jump in. I want other people to jump in this too because I already know what y'all gonna say on some of this. The point is, you're leaving out your story. Because you say, oh, we. Well, if it's we, when did we give this up to them? Like, how did we do that? Like, we say, here, white man, it's yours. Is that really what happened?
No, I think that black folks just really, especially even the older ones, because the younger generation, you can kind of reach them a little better. But the older generation have to come to grips that they were played, just like Martin Luther King came to grips. He was played. He believed in the civil rights movement. He believed that the Democrats was really trying to help Black America. And then they come to find out they didn't help Black America. The civil rights movement only helped immigrants or white women. Never helped
now,
Black people.
Is that on purpose? No, because I want to go with what's going to be happening. Because it says during this AI, this so-called story watching sci-fi, it says that the Pillars of Hercules, flanked by the Straits of Gibraltar, was ruling over the sun over the colonization of the morning star of Venus. This is what Draco's Brother, I brought you in. If you're in there, did you say Dracos? I just showed you Dracos. So are we ruling under our energy level that's going to cause this to create another way? Because our bloodline is
another name for Morning Star.
Dracos got their own planet. So they're not
right.
From Earth.
But what's
so,
their planet?
What,
for Morning Star.
So why the sun,
dark clouds on it.
Why the sun, why the sun is ruling?
Are they changing us the to ruling? Make this Draco planet too? That's what it looked like.
Because
what
all
do
I'm
we
seeing
call
is
the morning
colonization. What do you say about Morning,
morning
Star?
Morning Star. I'm just asking. Morning Star. Isn't Lucifer called the Morning Star?
Yeah, Lucifer. Yeah, Lucifer Saturn. I have no problem with Lucifer.
But
none.
Each one of them is in alignment at the Morning Star because every they all change in a Morning Star. Right now, the Morning Star would be Jupiter because of where it is in the alignment. Jupiter, Mercury, and Venus are all in the sign of Pisces, and they are now aligning with the Morning Star when we had the spring equinox yesterday. And so that's why I said we are a fleet and we're constantly changing our orbit. And each change of the orbit changes the energy of consciousness that's being given to the planet.
But how does the conscious level stream when we got, okay, for instance, there's different generations of belief there. Like you said, the younger people are now going to a whole different paradigm. They already going into AI at a high level. You may be less resistant. But they figure you older, so you're going to die off. I'm going to die off. Are they really looking for me and you? I doubt it. I think they're going for the young Frankenstein.
But what she's saying is correct because we, as a person at my age of 70, I look at it and say, yeah, there were great mistakes we made in the movement, but what we're here to do is to pass on the information saying for the next generation, don't make the same mistakes we did.
Right,
you
saying that, which is
the
right thing. Now, I agree with you. We can make it, because what happened is we should analyze y'all movement, because I didn't even know he said that in the Black Panthers, that he actually said, no, we ain't going along with that program. But today's black mind is going along with it. It's like they totally in sync, lockstep. They lockstep. They like they said,
lockstep. Lockstep is from Rockefeller Foundation, brother. Go back
there
to the 2010 memo, and you will see everything that's going on now was written then.
That's right, lockstep. And did Biden say lockstep? Biden said lockstep in his speech, his first
2 days ago,
becoming president. Lockstep. So I'm listening to the words. See, that's what they've caught people in sci-fi people should be looking at, because you'll be able to see what's coming and what's going to take place in your own area, because it definitely
but
happens.
This is their challenge in getting rid of vaccinating the elderly first, trying to get rid of the elders because they have memory. They have memory of what happened and what happened. Talking about the Tuskegee experiment, talk about the experiments they did inside of prison and inoculations. What we're seeing is saying being forewarned by the generation that experienced it to tell the generation
but, you
that
know,
seven generations
I agree with
we
you.
Need to warn.
I agree with you, but I'm going to tell you something about reading. You said reading. I agree with reading because people watch a movie. They watch a movie and don't really know the intricate parts of that movie. Until you start to see the funding of the Tuskegee Institute, you start to see that the black groups that would highly participate in this experiment, people act like W.E.B. Du Bois did not know. He got the financing. Carver, Booker T. Washington went and got the Rockefeller money. But see,
right.
We leave these out.
But
now,
go back to
if we leave that out, then we're going to lose out the psyche of what caused them to do that. That's why they want
to
erase history.
But even going back to the year I was born, when Henrietta Lacks, and the HeLa cell, which is being used right now today in science
to
create vaccines, that came from
family?
A black woman.
Right. Everybody, but dude.
And aborted fetal tissue.
I'm glad we give homage to her, but let's just say this. She's been giving homage, but let's look at this. When this first came out from the book Harriet Washington, which we have,
I was devastated.
No, Harriet Washington wrote this book called A Medical Apartheid.
Oh, yeah.
And she put the whole, she laid it out. She actually, she lost jobs. She did her, she deserved a medal and a lot of homage because that was a lot of work to be put together. And she actually said, but then when I read her book, I always tell people, tell me, y'all got the lines over. Everybody say, keep looking, keep digging, find out what they find. They have they go. A lot of their remedies came from the doctor, medicine people of the land. They let them even have good living. They were smooth. They let them feel comfort, and then boom, they would go to them and get the real potions. As time went on, doing them lobotomies on black slaves and stuff. Let me tell you something. If y'all go look at the doctors that was over here, because they called the British Royal Institute. They encompasses a lot of people, India and Africa, nations of part of it. And they were instrumental. They were instrumental in giving up some of those tribal people. Because when I really start getting mad about this, I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I'm honest about our history. That's why I say everything starts with us, even evil. It said that the Arabs were already doing lobotomies. They were already doing who they taught through Dr. Stanley in Livingston how to do the circumcision and make eunuchs. And then who was the eunuch that was famous amongst our people? The great eunuch, Tuskegee man. Had a, y'all know it, man. Carver.
It's the Black Angel, George Washington Carver.
That's right. I just said it, Carver. Carver was the, yep. Carver would say he was cast. Now, I'm telling you, the castration medical process came off that area that y'all celebrate a lot. Now, that's amazing that nobody wants to go into. Thank Dr. Blair. Thank you, Dr. Blair. Because Dr. Blair told the truth. All that stuff came out of the Akanaki and all that, how to brain and do all that stuff with the metal. You have to have precision tools to cut the skull.
But even with that, because when you look at the papyruses that were found, the medical papyruses that were found, because the first multi-surgeon was Imhotep. He was an advisor to Zeuser. He was a gastrologist, and he did surgery on eyes, and the papyruses were found, and they're in the museums now, because even the spermicide that was made for the queen, that would take herbs and honey, was used by the queen in order that she didn't.
And they use crocodile. They use crocodile oil. I got the book, the papyrus. It's a big book. It's like where pharmacy come from. Where the word pharmacy comes from that word. So obviously they call drug dealers.
But even when you look at Ebony and Ivory, Ivory is a book that was written about all of the Harvard, Yale, Princeton. All of them were founded by experiments that they were doing on cadavers of black people that they were digging up. And they began, because OBGYN started with Marion Sims using slave women.
But who let them do it?
In order to see how the reproduction system worked.
Now, this is how it works. You know as well as I do, everybody, facts matter. You can't go into a tomb without the Royal Society of Arabics. Which you can't go. None of our scholars can just go just because you want to believe Africa's yours. You can't just go to Africa and say, I'm going to go into the pyramids without permission. So those people who are able to see these things are of a royal society, regardless they black, white. It's beyond color. It's a society. So when somebody lets you into their country and take a cadaver That means you was given permission. And then when you look up the people who did it, they're of the Grand Orient, which is a huge Masonic order through all continents. So how do we explain telling our people these type of information without giving them the whole story? Because no one could go over there and take a cadaver in them days without the permission of Islamic leaders. That's a fact.
And Sheikh Abdul Diop, who was a chemist, who was in 1951 presented his dissertation, and he finally wrote the book, African Civilization. He wrote that he could go into any museum and test any mummy and show you the melanin, that all of these mummies were people that looked like us.
And why? Who was he with? It was the Royal Society. He actually married a white woman, so he was definitely in the loop.
Right, because he presented his paper at the Sorbonne in France.
Because
he was from Senegal.
I just said it. He's on high level. That's why he was just generous
enough to give us the knowledge, which we give love to. Because I got my certificate right here, and the only guy who was actually this doctor in Gimme was able to translate the book. And I did the completion of Civilization of Barbarism here in Fort Lauderdale. Sure
right,
did.
Because when we brought him here to Morehouse, and we had to bring his interpreter in so he could give us the lecture on civilization and barbarism.
That's right.
Back in the early 80s.
So he re-translated. He is from France. He's a French collegian. And again, great book. Don't get me wrong. And he actually blamed us. He said we was warring each other.
Yeah.
So how you explain
that? But he
also
said in that we got invaded.
Well, whatever invaded us, we were warring with each other. Watch where Tubal Cain come from, the metallurgist. The hardest metal furnace was found in what, Gambia or one of them countries in the middle of Africa, not
Zimbabwe.
The top, the middle.
Right. In
so
Zimbabwe,
how do we explain making weapons?
Metallurgy. We did metallurgy. This is why.
Well, how
you
do you explain making them into weapons? And we're so peaceful.
Oh, that can't.
Why would we
think
of weapons?
We didn't create the day. We gave that knowledge to the Chinese, and they took gunpowder.
No,
which
no,
they
no,
used
on,
to make
on,
firework
on,
and
on.
Put the two together.
I'm saying
and make
the weapons. The weapons that were made are found in Timbuktu, Mali. They got weapons, swords, the dagger of Amhotep. He got daggers made of a meteorite. Why
right.
would they make weapons if they didn't? You know, it's like that's art of war. That's where they get the Chinese. So what made us make weapons? And your
animals.
Okay. So we ate animals. There you go. There you go. Meat. So we ate meat. So all you vegetarian bullshits. Okay. That goes out the door now. Because they hunting animals. Interesting. Let's keep it going. I got the lines open. Let's roll. We got only so long to go. The show's been cut off. Obviously, we passed 1 o'clock. So those who stayed on, appreciate the love. And we're going to keep this going as long as we can. I think alien technology is in us. I think the sister said earlier, say another civilization came here and we're here and they said, let's have sex with the daughters of these people, of the sons of man. So now we got the DNA alien. So what's wrong with that?
But what I went back to
is that us down. Maybe they are connected to us, you know, because of all this, the sex going on, the sex magic been around for before any of us was
ancient
here.
Time.
So that's how we brought life to the planet was through the portal, the physical portal, which is the womb, which is being attacked today because now they want the artificial womb to create
right.
all the children. So they put your brain in the artificial womb. You know, you don't have to have you just transfer the brain. But what we don't realize is that we are infinite beings because how do you think they can control the frequency? Because we are made up of nothing but frequency. So that's the verse. We have this body for us to communicate and enjoy ourselves, but now we're under another type of mass
deception. So we can't enjoy ourselves like we really want to. We do, but it's not the way it should be. But, hey, this is what's going on. So we're dealing with invaders that's here, that's mining, been mining before me or you were born. So it's just like we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together to get bring back our know of our realm that we're in. So the realm that we're in and we're putting the pieces together is going to have us, which means resurrect, which means, you know, dry bones get up, you know, and it's not zombie, though. The zombie they want is the zombie that they want to take over and use as a weapon. This is to protect their mining organizations or corporations that's off-world. They kept us hidden from what they
already
knew.
I'm agreeing with all y'all saying. Everybody on this program, y'all saying something that's making a lot of connections to, let's get into the, to, if you need kids, they are rare energy, supposedly, according to, they got this, you know, they got the purest of the embryo cells and all this so forth. They, you know, they're rejuvenating at a higher level. The fact that we see this, that they're bringing minors to the border, it's kind of like a symbolic sign of colony. Like, I've seen a couple of them shows. It's like they say we're letting in a whole new species who, notice they're not making them take any shots. Ain't that strange, everybody? You don't find it to be strange that they're allowing everybody to come in, supposedly. Let's just go with the supposedly. That's what the news and certain media our groups say this is true. They're going into
but what age
areas
are they
without being
in the reproductive age, and see this is
right.
What
but so
is,
so what are they? What are, so they giving us this, but they not giving them this. Are they protected?
No,
status?
Because they're going to be used for breeding. And the thing of it is that they're going to infect the ones that are here, bringing in a new breed because they already forecast 2050, and they know that this whole thing of climate control or this climate thing is not a climate of weather, it's the climate of wealth. And the thing that they know is that they, at their origin of Anglo-Saxons being the charge, world charge, they will no longer be on this Turtle Island because it's going to be dominated by people of color.
And, okay, if they know that, and we heard, those who listen to the show, we let you hear white folks say we know this, and we're going to do the next phase. That means we're going to integrate ourselves, which they've done at a high
Megan,
level.
You just
do
started a royal wedding with
right,
Megan.
But they've been doing it. So they got it. They already doing it. So you right on that. All of us could say confirm. Now, let's go to the next phase. These are still royal subjects because she married into the into the royal crown. So I don't know if she, to me, she's an agent. Because what is she going to do for us? Really. So our people are always looking for a super person, a Superman, a sci-fi figure, which is a Messiah figure, to come save us. So if this is true, then our biggest savior is DNA environment, because we can't beat them up.
And
militarily.
Who is the DNA, the DNA bank? The DNA bank of humans, the black woman.
And if that's the case, then who they're using now will be the black woman president. Now, I was asking y'all on the line, this is the first time America could get a woman president who's married to an Oscarized banker, no kids, no lineage.
That don't consider herself black. She's an Asian.
Right.
But
she's
the other
Asian.
Part,
she never called herself
is,
black. She's a woman of color. She never used the word black.
She's
woman
Asian.
Of color, or she's going to be Asian.
Now,
but the,
whatever.
Megan's child is the only child that can be the King of England and the President of the United States.
Well, even so,
name
it's still
another
of
child
the crown.
That can do,
it's still of the
right,
crown.
But it could be. It can be President of the United States because she is an American citizen.
It,
and that child
who's
could
her
be
husband?
A president.
I mean, but hold on. That's such a high hypothetical. You'll be dead. I'll be dead. We can't prove that one right now. But as we speak right now, Kamala Harris could be president in our lifetime.
Yeah.
I can't speak for Megan's kids. You ain't gonna be alive, and I ain't gonna be alive. But we can speak for right now. Kamala Harris.
That's what I just gave you. The president of Tanzania is a Muslim woman. That's the first woman president.
I'm talking about
in
America.
Continent.
Not Tanzania. I'm talking about America.
Okay.
America.
But we talk
for the first time.
I'm speaking world.
It's gonna have a. But you don't live in Tanzania, so it ain't gonna hurt you what happened over there. But it's gonna hurt you what happened here. So, if she becomes president, give me your explanation. You first. I want to hear from all y'all on this one. Y'all telling me, y'all would not find that suspicious that Biden can't make it and she become president, and y'all didn't even vote for her to be in the election. She lost. She dropped out first. Now she gonna be the president. Oh man, this is gonna be interesting for us. Turtle Island will become Turtle Soup. You wouldn't even have to think about Turtle Island no more, man. All those treaties are gone. You could
China will be China will be having their champagne and their toast saying, "Well done, my black, emotional, unintelligent black folks who voted for Biden, knowing this man had senile, knowing this man never campaigned, he stayed in the basement, knowing he has." No, but you know, most black folks listen to CNN, and they don't, and that's sci-fi because they don't read, they don't look other places. They voted for this man because of Donald Trump tweets, and Donald Trump is the racist. But since he's been in office, he has lost about 100,000 jobs, gas prices going up, interest rates for houses going up, gay boys can play in sports. Those are his priorities. Immigrants can come in and get whatever they want. We have homeless veterans.
No shot. Okay.
Living
we got
outside.
You ain't gotta go
vaccine.
Over this, but we got you. We got it. I said we got it. That's okay. That's it. Makes sense to me. How can somebody say what she just said? If she was gonna go. If I ain't stopped her, she'd have went on and on. So I'm trying to figure out just that little bit right there. Did we file a clone? Because see, some of y'all don't believe clones. I wish Wes was on tonight. Clones exist. He don't even look like somebody that could even be functional. He's actually saying the dumbest shit. And he's calling her President Harris. He's calling her President Harris.
Yep.
Now, is that not symbolic or what?
They're even calling him a hologram.
But what she's saying is...
Brother, hold on. You sent me... Take him on. Brother Tariq, you sent me the one about the nurse. Remember, that's why I played about the coronavirus. Oxycodone.